Let's do it.
All right.
This show is brought to you by Onnit.com. Go to Onnit. Is the sale still going on?
Sale goes on till midnight tonight.
Okay.
So if you're on the East Coast, you're fucked. You got about 52 minutes.
So you got, it's 25% off of all the supplements and 18% off of everything else, I believe.
Yeah.
Right. But if you're listening to this, not on the day we record it, if you go to Onnit.com, you use code word church to get 10% off of all of their great supplements, New Mood, Shroom Tech Immune, Shroom Tech Sport, Alpha Brain, Strong Bone. Use code word church and get 10% off. The show is also brought to you by IronDragonTV.com. That's IronDragonTV.com. It's a new Roku channel brought to you by the founders of Nanotech, who sponsor UFC fighters like Tim Kennedy. If you use code word Joey, you're going to get 2 free rentals of all of their great martial art movies, including the Ip Man series, a lot of other
Kung Jackie Fu movies. Chan. Jackie Chan. They don't fuck around. Chow Yun-Fat. They got a bunch of shit on there. Go right now to Iron Dragon TV. Enter the code
Joey
and get 2 free rentals. Stop fucking around, Lee. Take this motherfucker to the hoop.
Go to nailedit.life.com. That's nailedit.life.com. For all the premier vapor pen on the market, it works with oil and with wax. You're going to use code word Joey Diaz with no spaces to get 20% off of the vapor pen. And they also have t-shirts and a lot of great products. And also go to hitesigs.com. That's hit letter E.
Go.
I'm trying. Hitesigs.com. It's better tasting, longer lasting. The proof is in the vape. They have e-cigarettes and e-cigars for me to choose from. The e-cigarettes come in 2 different flavors, and they have different variations of nicotine. If you're looking to quit smoking, use code word Joey's Church to get 20% off.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Just when you thought it was fucking safe. East Orange, New Jersey in the fucking house. What? Get that shit going on. Roll that fucking number. Jungle Boogie. What? What?
Jungle Boogie.
Oh, shit. It's Monday night, December 1st, bitches. What? Get up that bong hit. Polish that helmet. 24 days till Christmas. Oh, shit. Everybody wants a present, but nobody wants to suck dick. Confucius. Oh, shit. Hit it.
Get it up.
Oh, shit. Somebody somewhere is jumping up and down right now. You know what I'm saying? Lee Syatt, what the fuck? Where you been all weekend?
Well, I've been here. Yeah. Where have you? I was with you.
What night?
Saturday?
All right. You better get it together. Shit, we got stuck in traffic. It was a fucking disaster. How was your weekend? Good?
It was great.
Your wife's getting ready for finals, so there's no chocha for you no more. So you're sitting at home like a fucking mook, watching TV, wishing you were eating Mexican food.
Oh, yeah.
Look at you.
Oh, this is going to piss you off, but I have to tell you.
What happened now?
So her mom always has made the hot dogs wrapped in bacon. Mm-hmm. Guess what she's making for me this week that I think you might have to call a hospital. You might have a heart attack.
What?
She's going to make it with turkey hot dogs and turkey bacon.
That's disgusting. Tyler, don't even waste your time. You're hanging up. We might as well go to Felipe's wedding. Herb Dean in the motherfucking skiz house.
What's up?
Fresh from UFC 90 fucking 2 or whatever the fuck number it's up to.
I know.
What'd you do they last keep weekend? Picking them up.
Okay, let's see. Last weekend. What did I do last weekend? I don't think I had any fights last weekend. This last weekend I passed. Yeah, you know what? I did Thanksgiving, and then I just chilled around my house. It was very comfortable.
You got the family.
Yeah. So me and my kids, we went out to my parents' house, and the whole family was out there. And, you know, we had a beautiful Thanksgiving. And, you know, I think it was a very successful Thanksgiving because we only started, what, I think maybe 3 hours late. 3 hours late, which is awesome.
What time was the due date?
Okay, it was supposed to be at 12.
And you started at 3. What time was the first turkey fucking piece of turkey eaten?
About maybe 3:15.
All right, that's not bad. I think that was good. You sat around and watched football?
Yeah. I think
it was good. People came in late. Some people brought the shit late. Potatoes.
No, it was perfect. It was perfect. Okay. And then, let's see. What did we do? Oh, you know what? Yeah, it was all just love and family, hanging out, having fun. No arguments.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. You got to have a little friction on it. Somebody's got to leave pissed off or it ain't Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Well, no, my kids were complaining about this or that, but
what were they
no off? Grown folk arguments. You know, this uncle told him to do that or that one told him this and that. He's bossy, blah, blah, blah.
That's fucked up going to those big Thanksgivings. I forgot how that was. Like, and you set the kid table.
I used to dread it because I wasn't a huge fan of these cousins, but this past Thanksgiving, I kind of missed it a little bit. just like, even though you don't always get along, like, it's just, it's like a bit good feeling when a family's together, even if like your mom doesn't like this one sister, and
right,
it just gets crazy.
I was supposed to go to my uncle's, but then he started saying, you know, he'd rather go to a restaurant. So I bought this turkey from Boston Market with all the trimmings, and I'm like, I don't want that shit in my fucking car anyway. Car's gonna stink like fucking turkey for 3 weeks. I gotta drive it to Glendale. It might leak in the car. Fuck that. So I finally said, I'm gonna eat it at home and then go down there for dessert. But he said he was gonna get something else. And so my daughter went to sleep, because with kids, you really, when you have a baby, you can't time.
Yeah, how old is she?
She's 23 months on Saturday or some shit.
Right.
So you can't time what time they're gonna fall asleep and shit. I took her out all morning and walked her, and it was like 2 o'clock. She slept till 5. Finally at 4, I couldn't take it no more. I hit the fucking crib. And I slept till about 6. I got up. I went to Steve Simone's house, which was very nice. That motherfucker could cook. He made a few meatballs, some baked ziti.
Okay.
And I tasted the pumpkin pie. And I got the fuck out of there by 8 o'clock when the baby started nodding. And I went home, and I think I watched a movie with my wife. And, you know, but to me, it was like walking out of the house tonight. Tonight I walked out of the house, and I'm on the top of the stairs, and I looked out, and I saw a palm tree. And 18 years later, I can't fucking believe I'm in California.
Oh, that's great.
Like, you really can't, but, like, every once in a while, I catch myself. You're on Sunset,
mm-hmm.
and you're driving to the light, and you look at a palm tree, and you look at Sunset, and you go, holy fucking shit, I'm on Sunset Boulevard. How the fuck did this happen, you know?
Well, see, I grew up here, so I didn't realize how awesome it was until I started traveling. And I started going to these places, and, like, it's not the cold. The cold is rough sometimes, but for me, it's a novelty. But what gets me is that all the wildlife knows better. They all leave. And there's no birds. It's all silence. And there's no green stuff. All the, like, you see these hedges, right? But they're not hedges. In the winter, it's just these twigs in people's yards. And you're like, man, those hedges better be beautiful to justify twigs for most of the year. Then you come back here in Pasadena. I live in Pasadena. Lots of trees. Birds are chirping. I got squirrels partying in the backyard. It's nice. It's we got crazy. Parrots.
Yeah, it's crazy. It really is that you walk out and you realize, like, you have to check yourself. And that's the same way Thanksgiving is. Like, that was a very peaceful Thanksgiving. I remember Thanksgiving, me and a buddy went to call for another friend at his house. We were maybe 16. And all of a sudden, the father was drunk. And we got to talking to him, and one thing led to another, and voices started getting raised. It was 16. And the father finally took out a knife and chased us out of there. That was a Thanksgiving, you know, 30 years ago, whatever. So when I have a Thanksgiving like this that's peaceful, right. You know, then there were the Thanksgivings when you had no money,
mm-hmm.
and somebody invited you over there, and you had to scrape up $5 to get like a six-pack of Coke, so you didn't walk in there like a fucking idiot, or an apple pie. And when nobody ate the apple pie, you were pissed off because you could use that $9 for something peaceful. And you're thinking about taking it back on the way home, and you're like, fuck it. I just lost $9, but they fed me. I remember those Thanksgivings being broke. So they all come into perspective, you know, Thanksgiving. It really, I like it because you always think back, what the fuck was I doing last year at Thanksgiving, you know? Was I eating turkey? Was I eating dick? Was I under a bridge with a fucking sign?
It was crazy. Like, I guess it was 2 years ago when Terry was pregnant. And, like, I don't think she even ate. Like, you and I ate and watched a little bit of football.
She cooked and went to bed.
Yeah, she cooked.
Yeah, she was pregnant as fuck. She was ready to bust.
You know, what cracks me up about things. It was like the friends whose houses you used to go over, just all the different houses you had. And then also what makes me think about is the friends who stopped by my house without calling. Even though it's kind of annoying sometimes, those are my real friends because we grew up before there were cell phones. So we would just go by each other's house. That's how you did. You just went and knocked on the door.
I remember that expression, calling for somebody? When I was growing up, that was the thing. You called for Lee. You called for her.
Because the mom would answer.
Yeah, you always called for somebody. I went over and called for you yesterday. What are you talking about? Mom never told me. That's when you went to somebody's house. That was called calling for somebody.
Right, yeah. Going over there.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Let's go call for something. Let's go call for fucking Herb Dean. There was no pay phones. You just went over there and knocked on the fucking door at 8 o'clock at night. It was, Herb, mom, get the fuck off our stoop, motherfucker, okay? You know, there was no... Because of the baby and my wife, I wouldn't want my old friends knocking on the fucking door unexpected. Do you know?
Luckily for you, they probably don't live here then.
No, they don't. Yeah. I don't have like crazy
people. I live in the same town, so I got a few of my friends who just come knock on the door. If they don't, I don't answer. By the time I finally get to the door, they're like peeking through windows and stuff. Like, Is he in there?
Where not, you at? No. They won't leave because they know you're in there.
They see the car. I see the car.
No, I remember weird Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, it's just one of those holidays, and it kicks off a hard time for some people, and you see it on their faces. Some people fucking struggle during the holidays, Jack. Yeah. You know, I struggled, but I just fucking party till that's it. A lot of people will tell you, you know what, once Thanksgiving hits, I just want to go to sleep and wake up January 3rd. And I understood.
It's time for him to let it go. Because you know what it is? Is when you're going to see all the people who you believe are judging you about where you believe you're going to be or where you think you should be. That's what I think it is. I see a lot of people who are going to that, so they're going to see their family, and they're going to see so-and-so's doing well, and so-and-so did this, and so-and-so got that for such-and-such, and they're talking about this and that, and maybe you don't want to, you're not saying the things you want to say or would like to be saying.
You know one of the best holiday seasons I ever had? I could look you both in the face and tell you this. When I was locked up.
Why?
Because I learned a lot. Well, the best how I still remember calling somebody Christmas Eve on the payphone and walking out and just looking at the prison, the little army barracks, and going, wow, this wasn't as bad as I thought. I ate. You know, I talked to some guys. We didn't drink. We didn't smoke dope, but you didn't need to.
Do they, like, not take it for granted? Like, it's a special day and people out here kind of get sick of them and they don't really care about it as much? Or
It was really weird because you had these barracks, and every barrack had an eating area, like a bench, a microwave, a little refrigerator. You had to keep it clean on your own. Some guys kept it clean. Some guys were just animals. But there was the HIV unit, and those motherfuckers kept shit spotless. So we would hide our stashes over there. So the one Christmas Eve, we all went over there. And I was in business with this guy in prison that cooked. He was an Italian guy, but he fucking cooked. And he cooked from tools. Herb Dean, he cooked nachos every night. And he charged $2 for nachos. And they were better than fucking restaurant ones. He got these salted chips from downtown Denver. And then he would make his own cheese. He would stick the iron, you know the ironing? Mm-hmm. When you iron, he'd take the thing out of the iron. And that's how he would melt the cheese in the bucket. And then he would cut green chilies in there and onions and tomatoes. And he would melt the cheese. It'd take 8 hours. And he'd be cooking that. And people would be knocking on his fucking door all night. Is the chili ready? He'd fucking cook. And every day he'd cook something different. Then there was these Mexican dudes that came in. And their wives made these green chili burritos. But he was on probation for something. So he would cut the profits with the Italian dude. So the Italian dude had nachos at night and green chili burritos. This was every fucking night, this guy. So we ate. It wasn't like what you see in, you know, we didn't eat lobster tails like Goodfellas. But I remember Christmas Eve, it was snowing. And there was 30 of us in the HIV unit with six HIV guys from heroin, you know. And we were all eating, and we had all the fucking food that you'd have at home. It was mind-boggling. And here's these guys that probably had beefs on the street or whatever. Because I wasn't from Denver, but I knew that there was shit going on in there. And everybody was eating. And there were some guys that were probably doing drugs. But for the most part, it was a Christmas that I thought it was going to be a bad Christmas. But it was a great Christmas. It wasn't bad. At that time, I wasn't having good Christmases. I haven't had really good Christmases. My mother had just, you know, 6-7 years in. My mother had just died. Christmases didn't even feel like Christmas. Not because they didn't feel like Christmas, because I didn't want to feel Christmas, you know, in a way. I didn't want to feel it. But that was the first time in 87, that Christmas, that I was like, okay, I fucking get Christmas again. And it was Christmas. Sorry to fucking bring you down with that story, but it's a true story, so.
When I think of prison.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I know some people make mistakes, like you've talked about DUIs and stuff, or just punching somebody and hitting them wrong. But mostly when I think of prison, I think of, like, bad people being there. Is that true, do you think? Or, like, what percentage of them are bad?
There was a lot of people that were bad. There was a lot of people that were there at the end of their sentence. Like, they had done 20 fucking years.
Oh.
There was a lot of murderers in there. There wasn't no rapist in that place. There wasn't no child molesters. It was violent offenders that were trying to get into a system. Like, I think Rifle, there was a couple camps. There was Rifle, Camp George West, and there was one other one. Rifle was more for drugs. Like, if you were on drugs or you sold drugs, they put you through Rifle at the end, I think. They had a movie theater. They had a swimming pool, so you would be a lifeguard in the town. They really did a lot of things in Rifle because you couldn't escape. There's no way. Fucking, who played Blade?
Oh.
Wesley Snipes could not escape from that jail because Rifle to the city is 3 hours, and it's one road. So they gave you all the leash in the world. They let you swim. In the winter, you got a job at the movie theater, like at the Lowe's 16 in town. And in the summer, you got the bodyguard.
Lifeguard.
Okay.
So it was a drug prison. And then the other one was the one for rapists and child molesters. I was at the one with violence, burglaries, maybe a little couple. They got guys for drugs, heroin, but long term, guys that had done... You know, there was a guy in there that told me how he killed this guy. That the guy, but when he was telling me the story and I got to meet him, I saw it. I could see it happening. Why would you mess with this guy? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if you saw fucking Spencer Antoine, you knew not to mess with him. He was 6'4". He played for Louisiana, whatever, University of Louisiana. He was a linebacker. He had married. He had 6 kids. He was blue collar. And he went to Denver on vacation for his sister, and some guy messed with his sister, and he ran down the stairs, and fucking the guy said something with another guy, and he went upstairs and got a knife. He's from the fucking bayou.
So I was literally just thinking that. So let's say I go on a vacation to Minnesota, and I kill somebody. Do I go to jail in Minnesota, even if I'm from Boston?
That's fucked up. Now your family has to go visit you. So his family would come every 6 months. They'd put away money.
He had
6 girls or 5 girls and a boy. But I could see how he went down. He went up, took the ear beating, got smacked in the face, went upstairs, got a knife, and came back and stabbed one of the guys. Jesus. And killed him. I could see it happening. You know, you could see.
Did he get a long time?
He got 12 years because he had a really good attorney. Mm-hmm. You know, there was another guy that I became friends with that I scalped. Like, just robbed the Denver Broncos. Like, way before computers and all that shit, he bought a ticket and printed the ticket in the same paper. He busted into the paper where they made the tickets for the Broncos, the NFL. Just masterminded this fucking scam. He was from Cleveland, chubby Italian dude. And he was doing it in chunks. So he would travel all around the country in chunks. So he would go to New England 1 week, sell 3,000 fake tickets. Just sell them for $74.95. How can you do that? We're in bed with the New England Patriots. It's the new program. The NFL is in bed with them. If we sell the ticket to you, you get $10 off from the ticket price. That the same. People were buying them like hotcakes. And then he would go to Baltimore. Then he would go to Miami, where they busted him in Denver, the FBI. He was going to a town... And he told me, he goes, I'd average 2,000, 1,500 to 2,000 tickets at face value.
He made a lot of money.
Made a lot of fucking money. And you know how they caught him? He sat in his own seat. Oh. Him and his people were not allowed to go to the games because they didn't want to be on camera on NFL. So he was a Cleveland Brown fan, and he went to the Denver Bronco fan. He stayed and sat in his own ticket. After the description of people and blah, 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 blah. And then everybody came out
like,
to trial.
That's the guy.
That's how they fucking nailed him. Just tremendous. One little mistake. He said he saved one of the best tickets for himself and went in there. And they did something where they zapped out the tickets. So the people who really had tickets, the tickets wouldn't be good or something. Something just fucking brilliant in those days. Like, I met people that, to the regular person, you would consider him a scumbag. But to me, I'm open-minded as an artist, and I like when people get fishy. I looked at it as genius. Like, that's genius to do something like that.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about
it. He's a scumbag. He's hurting people, he's a scumbag.
But at the same time, it's cool that people are able to think outside the box and people are
American ingenuity.
Be a self-starter, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, just, a self-starter.
He went on his own hustle, you know.
There was a guy in there I always think about. There's a couple dudes. There was one dude that was a top Crip that I think about a lot. I think I loved him. I love him. I loved him with all my heart. He's a beautiful, beautiful man. He had 14 cars when I met him. And he had 7 women, dog. And they would all come on different schedules. I don't know how the fuck he did it. And he loved Nutter Butters. So he had all of them bring him Nutter Butters. And he sent one of his cronies. He had like 10 motherfuckers around him at all times. And they knock on my thing. Diaz, Cuba. Torrey Powell's looking for you. And I'd walk over there and they'd be outside. Like 4 of them would be outside. 2 in the hallway, 1 in the back. And I'd walk through them like not nervous. Like, what's up? What's up? What's up, man? What's up? And I'd go back there. What's up? Sit down, man. I got some. And we'd listen to Bobby Brown, Don't Be Cruel, and eat Nutter Butters and shit.
So this is in Denver, huh?
This is in Denver. So he was a Crip from L.A.
Can I play? I don't know what that song is.
Oh, my God. The beginning of it just happened. And when the beginning, the middle, when they would, oh, they would go crazy. The brothers would throw up gang signals and they'd be dancing in the hallways, and it was just a whole. And here's the interesting thing, that it was a Crip army barrack, but they put one white biker in there. His name was Tramp. And Tramp was the head of some biker gang at the time, a VP, and he hated black guys. But the Busters Balls, they put him in this unit with all these Crips that were straight up Cripping in there, selling shit. They would go crazy. They would throw up the game, and they would all be dancing with Nutter Butters. You can't.
In the video?
I mean, yeah, in the videos. They were doing moves on the videos. Yeah, uh-huh. But there's a part towards the middle when he goes nuts, Bobby Brown. And then they would set up a domino game in the laundry room on Wednesday nights. And they'd be all around the building cripping. But there was one black dude they allowed, and his name was Graveyard. Graveyard had the afro with the bonbons on the side and shit. Graveyard and shit, missing teeth, and he'd be playing and slamming dominoes. But there's a part on here where that part would come on, no matter what was cracking, they'd all start fucking dancing. It was, I can't forget that shit, dog. And I would be right in the middle of that shit, howling, loving it, saying, now where are the cameras? Where's the fucking people taking pictures? This was tremendous. This was 16 fucking black dudes with things on. What do you call them?
Do-rags
and the whole thing. And one Cuban dude just sitting in the back giggling, eating like a tamale, going, what the fuck is this? Tremendous, man.
It's a funny thing about prison stories because, you know, I've never been to prison. And I don't want to be in prison. And nobody wants to be. But when anybody starts talking about prison, even though we don't want to go there, it's not like we're trying to find out about it. Everybody, the whole conversation stops. I'm going to go tell us about this.
Oh, my God.
It's like E.F. Hutton's talking when you start telling prison stories, right?
Anytime lockdown or whatever, there's 2 or 3 jail shows, and I'll watch every single one of them. I've seen them all 10 times. It's because it's like a totally, no one, like, you can't even imagine what that's like. It's from the moment you're born, you're just like, that's where bad people go. So it sounds terrifying.
And I slid my way
through. See, I never think about it like that. I think about it, that's a place where, I mean, I don't know. As a person of color, especially in the, you know, in the times we grew up in, that's where you could end up.
Right. So it's not even you being bad. It's just that's a possibility depending on how your day goes.
It's very easy to get caught up. It's very easy. It's very easy to get to be just a street guy.
You could be at the wrong house and then all of a sudden, bam.
You know, you sell possession of stolen property. Somebody comes to me with 3 fucking stereos. It's a Wednesday. I know this Honda dealership across the street. Boom. You know, I get off on a fucking probation. Now I'm in a car with you. You got a joint. I go to jail.
So how would you describe yourself at that point? Were you in the wrong place at the wrong time, or were you like a bad guy?
No, I was a bad guy.
Really?
Yeah. I was a bad guy. I didn't know.
Are you telling the story? What'd you do?
I kidnapped a dude for drugs, for cocaine, with another dude, and then he went to turn on me. But it was...
You kidnapped him and it was holding him hostage for them to bring you dope?
No, basically what it was supposed to be was the dude was going to sell me coke because he was going to leave town. He was going to rob his roommate. He had gotten busted at the hospital for stealing liquor cocaine after a DUI. This dude was crazy. So he was going to sell me the coke. Me, I'm thinking to myself, I could just rob this guy. So I got this other guy. I usually just work with Jersey guys, my friends I grew up with. I was out of my realm, and I used this other guy. And that guy tried to rob me. So it was just one of these things where I was at the wrong place at the wrong time, but not really. I knew what I was going through, and at that time, this is what I needed. I knew when I was doing this that I was going to go to jail, in hindsight. Fuck. I knew it. I knew that this was going to be a long shot. And it was just a day of horror. And that we didn't beat him or nothing like
that. Usually we let him drug go. Yeah, it was pretty okay.
No,
you could rob the drug dealer and be like, what's he going to do after he goes?
Right.
This is the gentleman who was trying to abscond with my cocaine. I want, you know what I mean? It's usually they don't have any recourse.
It was crazy. It was crazy because then the guy that the coke belonged to went to the police station. And he copped to it.
See, that's the thing with making you think it's okay.
It was fucking crazy. This whole thing was crazy, but it was that old expression, what a tangled web we weave when we tangle to deceive. So I saw it evolve in front of me. But every day, the last couple of weeks, I've been writing just one story about my life.
I would love to have seen that when that guy came into the police station. Was like,
His name was Randy Chambers.
I'd like to report a crime.
I'll never forget that his name was Randy Chambers. And, you know, from what I heard years later, he wasn't a bad dude. He was just holding the coke for these guys, moving it for them. This guy stays at his house and discovers the coke. This guy that I kidnapped was no fucking angel. You know, I apologize to him. We're tight now. We talk on the phone from time to time. But he knows that he was no angel at the time. In fact, fresh off my situation, he got robbed again. He was involved in the same shit again. I bought coke from him. 4 or 5 years later, I bought coke from him. At that time, he was on heroin. This kid was bad news for a while. Didn't give me the excuse to rob him.
But that's why he understood. He was a drug addict.
Yeah,
and he was like, he's like, yeah, I understand.
He understood.
And, I kidnapped. I could have been you.
So, but it's crazy that I was clean off coke for a year. And I moved to Aspen, and I was working at the Crestwood Hotel as a security guard at night. I was a security guard at night.
And breaking into people's houses to steal their coke?
No, I wasn't breaking into nobody's house at this time. I was on the level. I had a girlfriend. And we were staying at the employee housing at the Crestwood until my apartment opened up at the hotel. You had to wait a couple of weeks till somebody moved out. And then you got a free one-bedroom apartment for working there and a ski pass at the time.
That's nice.
Yeah, it was pretty fucking cool. It was 1985. And I had been coke for a year. But I was hanging out with people that were doing coke. And one night I did it, like just before the year ended. I was like, fuck, I did 11 months. And after that, I was off and running. I wasn't crazy. I would just do a little bump from time to time. Then Danny Bianculo came out and started selling me ounces. And I would go to the East Coast and pick them up, like an eighth of a kilo. I'd pick up 9 ounces, 10 ounces, and bring them back. And I'd sell guns. And I got myself into this realm. But they had blown up this drug dealer. His name was Steve Grabo. They had blown him up in a car bomb. So his understudies were still around. The people that were moving coke from him were still around. And some of the people I knew were still getting coke from this Grabo organization. They were white dudes, the people I knew. It was a chick and a guy primarily. And they're selling coke for $1,800 an ounce. And I'm selling coke for $1,200 an ounce. And I'm giving them way better coke. So the word fucking got out. So one day, this kid calls me and he goes, hey man, my friends want to talk to you. They want to talk to you about maybe you going business with them. You don't even need to go back east. Maybe they'll just cut you a deal. I was a good fucking drug dealer at the time. I was selling the ounces. I had one guy that sold grams in Aspen, and I had another guy that sold grams in Snowmass Village. My prices were so good that I could pay these guys, like good money. So these guys would sell an ounce a night. Like, they were fucking savages. They would leave my house at 8 o'clock with an ounce of coke and fucking half grams and knock back out my door at 1 with a, like, give me another fucking ounce. I would go, guys, I don't have them even prepared. I got it in rock form. So I was killing motherfuckers, and I was selling it old school. I took it straight to these motherfuckers. These guys were selling 100 a gram and cutting it. I was giving it to them for 80. And rocking it up for them. They were losing their mind. I was like fucking killing motherfuckers. So this guy calls me and then he goes, hey man, they want to talk to you. Maybe you buy the coke from them. And me and this dude, I go, all right, as long as you go with me. I don't know these fucking people. He goes, no, I'll pick you up. We went to Old Snowmass. When we got to Old Snowmass, they fucking pulled us over. And they made me go in this other car. And they said, put a fucking bag over your head. And I'm like, what?
No, they didn't.
Yes, they fucking did. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, we're going to search you for weapons. We'll give you the weapons back on the way out. But we're going to put a bag over your head. I'm like, what? And I'm like, all right, put the fucking bag over my head. It was like a 5-minute drive. And I went in, I took the bag off when I went in, and these motherfuckers that I went to talk to had bags on their head with little fucking holes cut out and shit. And I'm like, what? What the fuck?
How have you never told this story before?
Because I just remembered this. I was writing this stupid shit. And this is, I'm an old snowmass. And I'm in this fucking, like, garage slash barn, like, where he carried heavy machinery. And the guy's like, you don't know me, Mike. Let's just say my name is Kurt.
With a bag on his head.
With a fucking white, like a, not like a KKK bag.
Right,
like
right,
a
right.
Fucking brown bag with little holes, like a fucking, three idiots. And I'm thinking about this at first, but I'm like, you know what? These motherfuckers are retarded, but they're the type of guys that probably, you know, whatever. They got it going on. I'm not, the guy's like, my name is Kurt. Let's just call me Kurt, whatever. And, you know, you're fucking shit up. You know, if you want to buy it from us, we'll sell it to you for $14,000. And I was like, listen, man, I'm not even up to that level. I've already been involved with these guys. And they go, well, give us a try. I think I took like 6 ounces in them or something like that. But they had like a middleman. They just took me out there to like scare me, like to scare me or some shit. But I was like, well, come on. You guys been watching too much fucking Miami Vice. I fucking got back in the car and I had to put the bag over my head and then drive to my car and they took it off. And then the next couple of weeks, I got a call to deal with these guys. I had to be a volunteer fireman. This is crazy shit, dog. And here's the fucked up shit, that you got to be careful what you wish for. Because for years, I was like, I'm going to be a good drug dealer. I'm going to be a good drug dealer. I'm going to be a good drug dealer. And I was like, fuck, you know, and here I was. That's it. I had reached the realm of fucking drug dealing with these fucking savages. Like, this was it. These guys carried weapons, and they had bags over their fucking heads. Like, this is it. I'm on Miami Vice. Welcome to the fucking real world. And I kind of shit my pants, you know? I kind of shit. And I used to carry a weapon then. I had a fucking holster with two fucking clips. I mean, I was just fueling my fucking fantasy. And this is why I tell people all the time, like when I call Duncan on that YouTube video, because this is how quick you fall into shit.
I think that would have messed me up, the bag, because that's like, I don't know, that's like some, like, yeah, that's crazy.
I wouldn't like that at all, not being able to see where you're going.
Yeah. It was.
As far as etiquette.
Fucking surreal, guys. But that was it. That was the beginning of my end.
So wait, what happened with the firefighter?
Yeah, they're joining the fire department.
So I had to join the volunteer fire department because you had to join the snowmass club to get the blow from them. And the only way you afforded to play in the snowmass club is A, you paid the $22,000 a year to join, or B, if you were a volunteer fireman, they gave you free admission into the snowmass club. And they put the coke in your locker and you take the coke out of the locker. They did everything to the snowmass club. So I became a volunteer fireman. You know, I did the 2 weeks of training. They make you shut out a fucking fire in a dumpster. They do like, you know, because up there, most of the fires were fireplaces. Those were 60% of the fires were like fireplaces. You weren't going to handle Jew lightning or nothing like that. Nobody's arsoning shit. Nobody's burning shit down. So that's what I had to learn to do. And I did it for like 4 weeks.
Too lightning.
That was interesting. Okay, I just figured that one out. That was good.
They made me a volunteer fireman, and then I didn't show like two of the things. Like they call you and shit, and like, hurry up, you got to go to a dumpster, and I didn't show. And they fired me. That was my end of my cocaine career with those guys because they wouldn't do it any other way. They had security. They were in with the people at that fucking country club. Either they owned it, they were in, and that's where you had to do all your transactions. You had to put the money in a locker. It's fucking crazy shit, guys. This is old school shit. This is what I'm trying to write now because this is what I think in my mind that this is the shit people want to, like, what the fuck happened? This is the beginning of my demise.
So how far away was that from you, like, doing the bad deal?
2 years. Like, that rolled my psyche right into that madness. That blew fucking alcohol. That was like putting gasoline on a fire.
You had like a mini drug empire. I never knew you had people dealing for you.
I had two guys. You ready for this? Who it was?
Who?
Mike, who called in for the podcast with the book about knives.
Are you serious?
Mike and Carl Hall, who never called in. He got sick that day.
Oh, yeah.
Never called in. I got mad at him. But all the people that I was around those times have called into this fucking show. Mike Roebuck. Mike Roebuck was a bartender in Aspen. So he'd take the coke with him. And he'd knock on my door at 1 o'clock. He was better than Carl. Him and Carl were about the same. In those days, I wanted 40 for the fucking gram. So they would sell for 80. They made just as what I made. So they were hopping, Jack. They were hopping. Fuck that shit. I had these motherfuckers hopped up. So it was just, it was weird. Like, and I sold the ounces. So they did the fucking little shit, and I did the ounces, so I knew who the fuck I was dealing with. And, you know, those half grams. There were 50 people selling fucking coke in the streets in Aspen in those days.
I can imagine that, yeah.
But I just had a niche. I knew, fuck 50, 40. 40. Get rid of it. Give them a little rock. Show them a rock. Everybody wants to buy coke, they give them powder. Why are you giving these people powder? Give them a fucking rock and two little lines of powder. They go nuts. They look at it and buy another one. Give me, you got the same shit? Yeah, give me another one. Boom, you just sold an eighth. You just sold the fucking gram where you had nothing. So what? I undercut the guy by $20. I'm still selling it. I'm moving double the amount because I'm undercutting them by $20 fucking dollars. You know, no, everybody was buying coke. It was like snow cones. Like fucking snow cones, Lisa.
So what year was this?
This is 86. This is 86.
How do people find
I'm
out about...
I'm 24 years old.
How old are you?
I was at the time, yeah, 63. And this is 86. So I was 23 years old.
Fuck. How do people find out about like a new drug dealer that has like a good price? Like, how does that... I've never even had to deal with that, but is it just friends?
Carl Hall went out.
Well, his guy was a bartender. One of your guys...
One guy was a bartender. The other guy was a bartender. Carl... I fucking told Carl how to do it. When you want to sell coke?
Sure.
If you want to sell coke, you got to do coke.
Oh.
You're not going to buy coke from somebody who walks in like a secret agent or an FBI agent. You want to buy coke from the most fucked up guy at the place. By the time Carl got out, his jaw would not stop. There's people who could go out and control their jaw. Carl would be fucking jawing. And I told Carl, let's tell you take 28 grams out. What's 28 times 80? 10 times 8, 1,600 bucks, right? I think he was giving me like 1,000 at the time or something, right? Take a gram right off the top, crush it up, and give people bumps. Anytime you see a bitch, give her a fucking bump because they're going to keep chatting. They're the ones that are going to sell it for you, those dumb little bitches. And then you got to bang them and get the fuck out of that bar. You got to go and get it. So they would have three bars. Carl Hall would sell 27 grams in three bars. Because you give some away to your friend. Come here, do a bump of it. You got more on you? Yeah, hold on. Give me 10 minutes. I'm going to go to the ATM machine. Whatever the fuck. You got to get them hooked. Like New Jack City.
That's crazy.
Wow, that sounds like New Jack City.
That's it. It's New Jack City in a microeconomic type of way. You know, what's that? Micro and macroeconomic. Mm-hmm. This is how you do it.
But in that little small little area, you probably pretty easy for you to get.
I know guys that I was buying coke from 10 years ago that are still in business in Hollywood. And they're geniuses.
How much money would you make, like, a week?
From me?
Sure.
$1,000 a week, just from me as a customer.
No.
I'm exaggerating.
No, with you as a dealer.
You want to make 5 to 10, 20. If you're home during the week, you know, and you just work nights. I know the guy I was getting it from was making, like, 7 or 8. Jeez. Living in Hollywood, he would make one trip up north, take a bus. Come back with school books, USC, rah, rah, rah. Go right back to Hollywood, cut that shit up, and he'd go to work from 4 in the afternoon to 1 selling coke and ecstasy.
Fuck. That's a lot of money.
He'd change his number every 60 days. He wouldn't have it in his house. You weren't allowed to go to his house. He never told you where he lived. He met you at a predetermined location. You know, he never had it on him. He would always go busy, and within 5 minutes, some chick would show up, some dude would show up. He'd have different people every night. And then he'd go, you see that can over there? It's right behind that can. You don't even know who dropped it off. He already know what you wanted, so he'd drop it off behind the can. He'd have the chick drop it off behind the can. He's still in business in Hollywood. I still talk to him once a month. He just invited me to his wife's having a baby. Fucking tremendous. I give those guys credit. They eluded the law. They eluded. And he got busted years ago. Once you take a bust or two, then you know how they work. Now you won't take a bust, especially if you work smart.
I'm not advocating drug sales here. We just got on Herb Dean's here. We're talking about fucking drugs. We want to talk about the UFC. Man. Oh, yeah, shit.
I appreciate you for nothing.
Oh, Tony Bennett, 1963. Oh, okay. Oh, shit.
I want to be around to pick up the pieces.
How you feeling, Lee?
I'm feeling good. How are you?
Ryan, who takes care of you? 35 milligrams. Look at you. Who takes care of you like Uncle Joey? Nobody. No.
You got the Tony Bennett?
Come on,
he's though. The smoothest, man.
Keep it going. Keep it going. Herb, you got to turn Herb down. This is every Monday I play this with my mother, the spirits. I light a candle. I change the glasses of water. You know what I'm saying? I blow some cigar smoke for a leg while, and I get the party started. Swear to be true, as you used
to do with me. I'm going to add this to my playlist.
Oh, this is a pimp music. Yeah. This is slinging. You play this for a freak? Stop. You give a 2 blast of coke, those fucking panties fall right off. That little onion opens up. You ready to eat that motherfucker to death, Jack.
Wow. What's hilarious is before I came, my daughters were like, okay, so Dad, tell us where the podcast so we can listen to this. And I'm like, okay, don't worry, baby. I'm going to text you when I get there. You guys are going to be like, okay, we want to listen. We want to watch it, Dad. I'm like, I'm so glad I forgot. They'd be like, Dad, so we want to watch the podcast.
There's no video for this one.
No, maybe not.
Tonight when you get home, they'll both be there. What's an onion? You're like, what the fuck? What's an onion, Daddy? What was he talking about?
We really like to cook.
What's up, Lisa?
Nothing.
What the fuck is, how many pounds you lose so far?
75.
Look at you. You're a regular fucking Joe Atlas. Give me a crab. Give him a crab. Give him the cat. Look at there you. Look at you, bad motherfucker.
75 pounds.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm almost back down. I had lost a bunch of weight juicing, and I got down to somewhere, and I'm almost back down.
Are you still with that fucking juicing?
No, I know it's
Did
gone.
Did you not throw the juice away?
Yeah, it's gone.
It's gone? What'd you do with it?
I gave it away to somebody.
Who'd you give it to?
I don't know.
Why are you lying to me? You're a Jew. It's in your closet with dust on it. That thing's going to go on eBay a week before Christmas.
Okay. But it worked for you.
It didn't. No, but it didn't because I put it all back on plus 15 pounds. So now I'm in the process of losing again.
Are you going to have a juice again?
No.
No fucking kelp.
Just stay off the juice.
That's it. No pineapple juice, nothing.
No, that'd be cool. It's just the green juice I made. I can't even looking at your face.
He was trying to sell it to me one day. He's like, yeah. He was shaking it up. He's drinking in front of me. I could see his fucking face turn pale. That shit puts your body into shock, dog.
Yeah, kale's not that great.
And I kept telling you, you should throw a hamburger in that. Like some hamburger and some apple juice. Never know what happens. It could be like a hamburger smoothie. You could be make a fucking $1 million. You don't know until you try it, right? What's going on, Herb Dean? Tell me something good, brother.
Oh, man. Just living, man. Just looking forward to the holidays, you know? Just Christmas coming up. Going to be refereeing lots of fights, doing what I do, you know.
What's this weekend? Oh, this weekend is Robbie Lawler. Will you be in Las Vegas?
I will be there on Saturday. See, Thursday I'm going to be out doing King of the Cage here in California. Friday I'm going to do the RFA down in Orange County. Saturday go up Vegas.
That's amazing. And you stay fresh. You go to bed early.
Oh, yeah.
Drops in your eyeballs and shit.
Yeah, when I got to be like that, I got to go to bed early.
You're the best in the business.
Otherwise, it's my responsibility to stay up a little bit late so I can sleep in. Right.
That's amazing. It's fucking tremendous that you're the best in the business. That's what we have at the table right now. You've been voted, right?
They did vote on it. I think that's crazy, you know? They did vote on that. That's the best official. Hey, I'm so happy that our fans appreciate the job we do, you know?
You
do
a good
people
job.
In our sport. Yeah.
I was watching football Sunday. I called Lee Pissed Off. Monday, and I was watching those guys when they now you could challenge them.
Yeah,
you could challenge them for a couple of years, and I was like, that would work in MMA, maybe.
I was just thinking that, but there's no real point to challenge unless it's stopped, and then
that's what the people. That's the hardest thing.
Yeah, I don't think it would. Yeah,
and I get it. I fucking get it, especially now. You know, especially fucking now. And, you know, when somebody's out, they don't know they're out until they look at the tape.
Well, did you hear about that Ohio State player?
No.
That guy, he was a football player. He had wrestled all throughout college and into senior year, and he joined the football team, and he had some concussions. And he went missing on Wednesday, and they found him yesterday. He got into a dumpster and killed himself. Because, like, I don't know if it was because of this concussion stuff, but that they're checking for that.
But, yeah, I think that's what they're getting. They're saying that people get concussions.
Like Junior Seau happened to
Well, that's the NFL.
There's other reasons why people might want to kill themselves, though. But
that's true, but it's just it's scary to think about. Like, I mean, Mercy's never going to play football, but, I mean, if you had a boy, would you let them play football? It's kind of weird.
I know one thing. I watched the HBO report, which is tremendously interesting. Had Junior Seau and six other players. The most memorable one was the young brother. That was his sweetheart. You could tell in his face. He was just a happy young brother. He came down with a fucking gun and shot himself in front of the wife and kids. You know, he had six concussions. He was a defensive back. But this is my argument. This is the only thing I find. I'm no genius. Mm-hmm. I'm no specialist. What's been happening the previous 50 years?
That's what I'm wondering about.
That's what I want to know. Has anybody looked into a report of the players that played with the fucking leather helmets? Guys, football came out with leather helmets. Am I lying? Am I wrong?
No, you're right.
Am I correct? Am I wrong here? Does anybody know? Can anybody get involved in this conversation here? You know, there used to be leather helmets.
Right.
Were those guys as strong as us? That's the other question.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
That's the other question. Did they hit as strong as we did? You know, we're a superb human being now. Yeah. With all these minerals and all this shit that we're... these new ways of training and new methods of training, you're really optimizing the individual.
There's so many ways to spin something or so many ways to interpret things. You know, it's like, at the end of the day, some of these conversations, I'm like, I don't know.
So you know? I just want to ask the question, and you could email me at joeydiaz.net in a week or so when you listen to this. I mean, the hits I saw Jack Lambert put on people.
Right.
Did he get concussions? Did he kill himself? The hits I saw Earl Campbell put his head down. Mm-hmm. I know Earl's in rough shape. They just replaced his hips or his knees. There's something going on with Earl. But, you know, how is his mental state? These players I saw took tremendous fucking hits. Ronnie Lott, who lost
Earl
a finger.
Just crushed people.
You know, those guys that played defensive backs, that's what I left watching that thing on HBO thinking of, especially defensive backs and linebackers. They're the ones, and when a running back puts his head down.
Yeah.
Herschel Walker, I see him all the fucking time. You know, how many hits did he fucking take to the fucking head? You know, just that Georgia, that motherfucker got hit in the head with 20 fucking sledgehammers. Those fucking white kids, what division is that in Georgia? That's the real fucking division. Those are big fucking corn-eating white motherfuckers that hit hard. They throw weights around and they throw bales of hay. Those bales of hay weigh like 800 fucking pounds. So I just want to know, as Herschel Walker, I want to know. I want to know what the percentage of those players in the 70s.
Right. On top of it, you know, I mean, guys who can do that are intense people to begin with. So, I mean.
Where's Romanowski? That motherfucker clocked 80 people in the head. So I want to know. I want to know what else. Was it something in their diet? Was it a type of steroid they were doing while they were getting hit or for the recovery? What drove these men crazy? Because I know that...
Could it be their makeup to begin with?
Why are we different? You know, I'm allergic. I goof on people who are allergic to peanuts. I didn't grow up with nobody who was allergic to fucking peanuts. They were allergic to eat the fucking peanut. I'm allergic to maple syrup and dogs. When I was growing up, I couldn't have a dog around me. If I walked in your house, even if you put the dog outside, in an hour, I'd be at the hospital.
Yeah.
Eyes swollen, nose bleeding. Eventually, the more dogs I play with, the thing went away. Maple syrup today, listen, I'm a fat dude that smokes reefer. When I wake up in the morning, I can't stand eggs. I can't stand eggs. Eggs is society's punishment on me. I eat them because that's my option. Yogurt with the peanuts in it and bananas and raspberries, it works from time to time. But I'm hungry 10 minutes fucking later. So eggs at least fill me up. Scrambled with ketchup.
What about the ones on those ribs right there? Is that eggs on a rib?
Yeah, that's Cuban huevo cabayo.
Man, I was
that's
looking
called
at that. I'm like,
huevo cabayo. Oh. That's a big Cuban dinner. What they get is a mound of fucking rice. Then they put a steak on that motherfucker. Then they put two fried eggs on that motherfucker. And what you're supposed to do is cut it with the yolk. And the yolk mixes with the fucking rice. Now, if that doesn't get your dick hard and put protein in, you know these people, I only consume soy protein. Listen, Sergio Oliva, one of the greatest bodybuilders we know, that's what he ate for breakfast. That's what he'd eat. Where walk how I? It means eggs on horseback. Are you fucking kidding me or what? Are you fucking kidding me? That's what the Cubans call it. Eggs on fucking horseback. That's to really send you to a different fucking dimension. What's up, Lee? What are you giggling about, cocksucker? So that's my thing. When I watch that, I want to know, what's the middle linebacker from the Chicago Bears that you did all those crazy movies? During the 60s, he was fucking headbutting motherfuckers. Come on, guys. He did all the Police Academy movies and all that shit. You know, he was supposed to be the hardest hitter of all time. You know, where's that guy today? So I know Junior Seau was a very nice guy. You heard that all the fucking time for years. There was a big player from the fucking... Anybody twit me? Big player from the fucking 60s for the Chicago Bears. What the fuck? Nobody knows here. Unbelievable. What am I going to do with you guys? What am I going to do?
What show was he on?
He was on Police Academy and shit.
Police Academy. Chicago
Bears. Bubba Smith?
No. What the fuck?
No movies. I mean, that movie, any other movies?
He did a couple of things. But anyway, he was like the hardest hitter for the Chicago Bears.
Bubba Smith keeps popping up.
No, somebody else.
That's all right.
But it really is, you know, crazy that's what I want to know, the percentage of the other players. Where, you know, UFC fighters.
Yeah.
They're getting stronger and stronger. You know, you walk around for years at 205, 210. Anthony Johnson's a strong dude, you know.
Yeah.
I could see someone like Anthony Johnson hitting you, God forbid, you know, the wrong way in the fucking head. Boom, boom, Mancini killed that fucking Korean kid. Young Kung Kim.
Think it was Buku?
No, what was the kid's name?
Is it Buku Kim?
No, Young Kung Kim. Dumb Kung Kim. Yeah. It was the greatest fucking fights ever on television. You could have robbed 10 banks at that day. Nobody would have known. Everywhere I walked into, everybody was watching that fight. It was on Wild World of Sports. Everywhere you walked into that afternoon, everybody was like, hold on 1 second. You're like, what the fuck are you watching? It's the best fight ever. Finally, I watched like the last four rounds. They were beating the fuck out of each other, Lee. No referee, no Nevada commission. They threw everybody out. This is a fight, guys. Fuck these two. And that Korean kid wrote on his chair, fight to the death or something before he went out there. He fought. He died in his dressing room. That fuck. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. 1982, 83.
That's going to be really bad if someone dies in a UFC fight.
No, God forbid. I'm just saying that these guys are getting stronger.
Yeah.
These guys are getting stronger, and sometimes there's judo throws involved. You never fucking know. You know, with football, I mean, it's been okay, but all these concussions, this is amazing. Every fucking week, somebody's got a concussion, and you got to watch them now.
Right.
I've had a concussion. It's not a good feeling.
No? What does it feel like? I've never had one.
Like, it feels like your body, I remember puking a lot.
Oh, Dick Butkus.
Dick Butkus. Okay. That's him. Dick Butkus. Yeah. Dick Butkus was a hard-hitting motherfucker. How is he doing today? Is he suicidal? Has he been arrested? I mean, these are the things you have to look at. So I don't know when they did that HBO thing, what it's conclusive is something with the water. For me, I thought about it, and it could be a drug with the hits to the head. Something they're giving them. You know, after this guy has received two concussions, maybe they're giving them something. That they don't know. It's experimental, the FDA, blah, 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 blah,
but
blah.
But they're saying it's some sort of syndrome that guys are getting after concussions that make them feel this way, right?
That make them feel this way.
Called like CTE or something?
Something like that. So that's what I'm curious about. Are they giving them something? You know, society, athletes are getting sold.
I've had a couple of concussions.
Yeah, athletes are getting sold a bill of... Society's getting sold the bill of lading. You know, there's vitamin people who really believe. I get sponsored by Onnit because I've gone to dinners. I've hung out with Aubrey. And I know what Aubrey does. Aubrey talked to me for years about opening up Onnit before he did it. You know, he always talked to me about this combination of stuff. When he went to, like, Colombia, he would go and get ayahuasca and all that shit.
Really?
In all these countries. Yeah, the guy that does Onnit. It has a great podcast. He He writes a blog. He's very intelligent.
I'm willing to go look at it, but what do they have on
Aubrey? Like, he just has a lot of different... I don't know. They do all that stuff. I'm not very familiar with it, so I don't want to talk about it, but I know that he's into minerals and making... He always took stuff to make you better or give you more energy.
Right.
So when he came up with it, and him and Rogan were telling me about it one night, I saw his passion. It's the same passion I have for stand-up. It's the same passion I have for food. So I know that Onnit's good. That's why when he contacted me, I was like, absolutely. I was kind of proud in a way because he does have a couple of good products there that do work. But there's a lot of people that are selling you misinformation. They're selling you faulty fucking products. They're selling you shit that there's really nothing in it. Right. If you take half those protein shakes in the market, they probably are all sugar and half the protein in those fucking things.
Yeah, and you wonder because sometimes there's some that, you know, it's always... the low sugar, high protein one, and some of them taste so good, and you're like, oh man, all my dreams have come true. The next, you know, the best tasting ones are always off the market. After a little while, maybe people find out, you know what? Maybe it wasn't true what they said was in there, or maybe there's some other stuff
in there. You don't know what's fucking in there. Yeah, yeah. You don't know what's fucking in there. The only protein shake you know is when you make it at home and you put wheatgrass in that motherfucker and sirhan, and fucking palooka trees and ginger. You ever have sirhan in your fucking protein shake?
No, but I like palooka trees.
That's like gunpowder. You put that in your fucking shake. Like what's his name in that movie about Africa? He was snorting gunpowder and blow. What's that movie? The dude that fucking was selling guns? Guns of War. Nobody.
I didn't see that movie. No,
damn.
I didn't see that movie.
What's it, Nicolas Cage?
Yeah.
That's one of his
last.
God
of War or something like that. Yeah.
That's one of his really last good movies. That's an interesting movie. At the end, he gets all fucked up, and he goes down to this little village, and they're drinking, and this dude keeps sending them shots of fucking coke and gunpowder. That's just tremendous in West Africa, where the fuck they are. And his brother was great. The guy that won the Academy Award this year for the Dallas Buyers Club. He was a transvestite. Mm-hmm. He was the brother in that. Fucking tremendous. He played a coke fiend and shit. You haven't watched that movie. What's
I heard the Dallas Buyers Club is good. Yeah.
Dogs of War. It's on every fucking night on Showtime or one of those. It's on every night. Every night, and every night I stop what I'm doing and I fucking put it on.
See, I don't watch a lot of TV. I do the Netflix thing, but I got to catch up to it. I got a lot of movies I got to catch up with. God of War. That's
what you know what, man? I decided today I'm getting rid of DirecTV.
Yeah.
As soon as the football season's over, because I paid for the stupid NFL package, I'm just canceling it. I'm paying $150. I'm going to get one of those Amazon sticks that you can play the Watch ESPN app on, and that's really all I'll watch, and then I'll buy a DVD if I want to. But it's too much money. I sat down and thought about it, and there's nothing on. It's crazy how little there is for how much we're paying.
But I found that, you know what, I stopped watching TV, but then I found out I'm missing out when I check in and watch some TV. They're making amazing stuff, man. Some of these TV shows are
trash. Netflix is making great stuff.
Yeah.
Television's trying to fucking come back. Mm-hmm. And they're losing us. They're losing us little by little. And they know it. The cable networks and HBO's going to go to... HBO's just going to buy what you use, correct?
Yeah.
Is that the rumor?
You can do that. You can just sign up for HBO Go. But if you have Amazon Prime, you get access to all like the HBO Go things, I think. Or maybe all the old series. So it's... There's just so much stuff available to you.
Now, listen, I
do you watch Game of Thrones?
No, I don't have HBO right now.
I don't watch it.
Yeah.
I don't watch it. It's
I've heard it's great.
I heard it's great too, but I don't have TV. But
I have to watch TV for my little entertainment. That's part of me getting entertained and refueling at night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I'll scroll by ESPN and it bores me to death. Some of those reality shows late night aren't bad. You know, at least they're interesting. The prison ones, there's always something on Discovery or something. Is that a fucking earthquake again?
No, that was me.
Okay. Jesus
Christ. That's why he is.
You got like a size 19 fucking foot, Herb Dean. Tremendous. And then you got like late movies, which I really enjoy. I enjoy a nice, even if I saw, you know what was on last night?
What?
Motherfucking 8mm with Nick Cage and James Gandolfini. None of you motherfuckers ever saw that.
Yeah, I saw that.
Nick Cage is an investigator, and he's investigating a missing girl.
Right, yeah, I remember
and
that.
And he has to, and Joaquin Phoenix is the dude who works at the fucking porn store. Are you kidding me? But last week you went to see one movie.
And it was,
what movie did you go see with your girlfriend last week?
It was a snuff
film. Well, it's Hunger Games, but you haven't seen 8mm. This is what I'm talking about.
This 8mm wasn't out at the Burbank.
Who gives a fuck what's out or what's not out? You're supposed to call me and say, she wants to go see Ape Man.
Wasn't it a bad movie?
Yeah, I know. All right. Take the fucking stick out of your ass, all right? It wasn't a bad fucking movie. That's why you're making crepes on a Friday, cocksucker. It wasn't a bad movie.
It wasn't.
Industry, so he has to go investigate. That's how he gets him. He has to go get cut a deal with the fucking dude to make a porno movie for him.
But then does he end up getting drawn in or something,
right?
Yeah,
he gets fucking tremendously. Yeah, yeah. It's on tonight. Don't forget, cocksucker.
I'm going to forget.
No, yeah, don't forget.
Right? I'm going to start watching more TV. You know what I do online? I you know what? I just play guitar and sing real bad to my kids. That's about it.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's about it, yeah.
You got a tough job. So, you know, you got to be focused. And.
But I should watch TV. I feel like I'm out of it. Like, half the jokes I don't get because, you know, I don't get the references. You know what I mean? People are, like, making jokes today and, like, I don't get it. And then they'll explain to me, it was this TV show and this guy did that. And everybody else in the room got it and I didn't. So, you know, so I can be, you know, culturally aware, I need to spend some time in front of the television.
I'm going to ask you something while I remember here, because somebody asked me this a while ago out in a club or something. They were like in Minnesota last year. Nice kids came over to me and they said, hey, man, you had Herb Dean on. If they go to the school, do they get certified in Minneapolis?
Okay. Oh,
like
so
the school in Pasadena. I'm sorry to change the subject,
but
while it came to my mind, I knew I had to ask you something, and I forgot to write
it down. That's a good thing to ask. Okay, so how it works is to referee a match, to be an official, you need to have a license. And the way the athletic commissions work, especially all the ones that go to the ABC, they say, well, you need to go to an ABC-approved course, an ABC-recognized course. So, yeah, you need to take the course, then you come back with your certificate, and you go, and you start doing shows, amateur or pro shows. And but to get licensed, you do need a certificate. So it doesn't automatically mean you get licensed there, but you should not be able to get licensed without passing it.
But it doesn't, if they come and get a certificate from you, they go back to Florida or New York, wherever the fuck they're from, and be a referee.
Yeah.
After they get licensed.
After they come back, they're going to go apply for a license. They're going to go, well, what course did you pass? They go, I took this course. Is it ABC recognized? No, you need to take an ABC recognized course. So there's me, John does one, a couple other guys do them.
Yeah. Here in California.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then they have them in New York, too. Somebody does them in New York.
They have some on the East Coast. Somebody does them. Like, there's a couple of guys on the East Coast who do them. There's a guy out of New Jersey who does them, a guy out of Massachusetts who do them. Yeah. I don't think anyone in New York because it's not, you know.
Sanctioned, yeah. Well, the UFC is not sanctioned, but they have other MMA events.
Yeah, but they don't have, MMA is not supposed to happen in New York. Pro MMA, definitely. And the amateur, I'm not sure really what goes on with that. I've never really done one out there. Yeah.
And this is all because of a fucking union. That's what you're trying to tell me.
I just know it's not legal. There's something to be involved with a union.
It's something with a union or whatever.
That's above my pay grade.
Like the hotel workers union or something
I think it's the culinary union. Right?
Culinary union.
Yeah.
It's amazing that politics is getting involved in the UFC. Fucking tremendous. At least the fucking public is seeing it for what it is now. You guys are at home thinking your fucking congressman's working hard for you, that Martians aren't going to invade your neighborhood. You better fucking set that alarm and get the shotgun ready, bitch, because they don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying, Lisa? You know what I can go for right now? A Wise potato chip. Not a bag, not three, not four, just one.
What flavor?
The regular one. That's East Coast potato Wise. Chips and shit. Wise is the shit. I was always an onion and garlic type of motherfucker myself. But right now, I can just go for a plain chip. Just one of those big ones with the brown edges and shit. Come on now. What could you eat right now, Lisa? Tell me the truth. What do you got hidden at the fucking Castle of fucking Lee?
I don't got. I have to go grocery shopping.
You have to go grocery shopping?
I do.
You believe what I got to deal with? This
I don't have that much.
What do you got in the house? You got any peanut butter, nothing?
Yeah, I do.
Well, that's some peanut butter and jelly. You got any white bread?
Yeah. No, what I don't got. I got
what
do
you
got? Bread.
Why don't you make those rice cakes and drown to
death? I'm out of rice cakes.
Oh, sure.
He calls me up, and I'm like three times higher than I am now. And he tells me, are you eating those like rice patties? Just, I don't know why you don't like rice cakes so much.
Because they're disgusting. They make you thirsty. Anyway, what the fuck you bothering me for? I'm talking about referee school. Keep it up. I'll send you there for the weekend. You'll be in Idaho reffing fucking. I hate fucking Jew events and shit. You know what I'm saying? Lee, boom, boom, where's the fucking envelope, Syed?
Somebody's blowing me up. They know I'm in the church. What's happening now?
Oh, shit.
See?
Oh, who knows?
I see, yeah. One of my buddies, Disco Dave.
Oh, shit. Disco Dave. Give him a shout out.
Uh-huh.
There you go. You love doing what you do, and I could see it in the fights. I could see in the old fights. I can't tell you evolution. I'm not that good. I got terrible fucking eyes. I don't see half the shit you see. But I don't see half the shit they see in the football. I don't see. I never saw it. I never catch the first time.
It's amazing that they catch how much they catch, going so fast, and that's why it's kind of ridiculous when fans get that upset at a referee for making a call, like when the fan has seen thousands of slow motions and you have to do it in real time, like you can't look at it again.
Yeah. Sometimes some of those calls are so close, you know, and I mean some of them are like a fraction, right, on a little fraction of it. Of an instinct of a call, and you're like, you know what? Make your call on what you think it was.
And if they took a poll with all the knuckleheads that watch television today, if they took a poll amongst Knucklehead International, they would all say, punch him till he drops or his eyeball fucking falls out.
Oh, of course.
They would say that, and I don't see it that way. I could tell. You tell that one punch when they're wobbly, you know. Yeah. You know, and you know he's got one more left.
So what do you look for when you're going to, like, stop the fight? Like, what are you looking for the person to be winning to be doing? What is the person who's going to lose doing? Like, what's the threshold for that?
Well, I mean, first of all, I'm looking for them to be, are they doing something that makes sense? Are they doing, you know, because I'm not judging on how hard they're getting hit or how many times you're getting hit. I'm judging on what they're doing back, and are they doing it somewhat effectively, and does it make sense? If they got hit and they're waving their arms in the opposite direction of where the fighter is, obviously, they're not in a situation to be able to deal with what's happening. So it's time for me to help them out a little bit. That's basically what I base it on. Someone's taking shots. Are they doing something that leads me to believe they're going to be able to get back into this game, or is things getting much, much worse?
Did you referee Overeem against Bigfoot?
Yes, I did.
Was on the other night.
Uh-huh.
And there was one punch where you don't have to be a referee. You knew Overeem was night-night.
Oh, yeah,
you
know,
it was just a matter of you getting there, whatever. And he could take another two or whatever. When I watched that, that was one I was sitting there going, only an idiot could tell he's not out. He's on his feet because he's got strong fucking legs. And
right.
His mind hasn't told his knees yet to fall. You could see. You could. I don't want to see somebody take more abuse. They get knocked out. Yeah. They get knocked out the first shot. If they argue with you and they tell you I wasn't knocked out, I was just thinking about Bermuda.
Yeah.
They always got something. Nah, dog, I was blinking. I felt them. Listen, you were wrestling with fucking the matchmaker.
Right.
That was the fucking matchmaker.
That's usually what we'll say. Like, yeah, you know, let's watch the tape and we'll see about
it. Watch the tape, whatever. But if you see it and you're a real man, you'll understand you were knocked the fuck out and it happens and you'll think about it and go, wow, I was in the fourth grade. Eating a fucking cookie with my favorite teach.
Yeah, and those are the things. I've been knocked out, so I've had those things happen, you know, where all of a sudden I'm in my living room, but all the people from the gym, because it was in the gym, are in my living room. I'm like, man, these guys never come over my house. What they doing here? Pass the remote control or whatever. What, you know what I mean? Like, and that, those are the kind of thoughts you're having. I've had guys say some strange things to me. Like guys, you know, tell me if they're going to keep fighting at this place that they're going to have to get better seats because they can't see the punches coming from when they're way out there and they have bad seats like that. You know what I mean? So, yeah, a lot of times guys, they're not thinking right for that minute or two, you know?
The one that kills me is the fucking blood ones. Because once you're cut and you accept the fact that you're bleeding, you don't really feel it.
Yeah.
You don't feel it. Mm-hmm. You don't feel it. If you have a heartbeat, I've seen it and I've experienced it. That once I stepped on a glass one time in a fight. I was punching, and my foot just went, and I felt the glass go through the fucking sneaker. The bottom of the bottle was cracked just perfect. So as soon as I stepped, it was just perfect. Like if the whole glass would have been cut, the whole bottom like 2 inches up, I wouldn't have hurt myself. But since this was down here and this was sticking up and sharpening, it went right through my CAD or Converse, whatever the fuck I had on. And after I accepted the puddle in my blood and I didn't faint, I kept pushing people and getting involved. And until a cop said to me, hey, you, your fucking foot's drowning. You know, you're bleeding. I'm like, what are you talking about? And that's when I felt how much I was bleeding. You don't, even when you have broken arms and limbs, you don't fucking know. Didn't, what's his name, fought a couple rounds with a torn bicep. Your adrenaline carries you through. Mm-hmm. Once that motherfucker, that you're back in the dressing room and you sit down for 3 minutes and that fucking rigor mortis sends in, that rigor mortis sets into your head and the punches you got and your blood, that's when you realize. But at that moment, you don't even feel that fucking cut.
And then the cuts, they're really at the end of the day, the cuts, as far as the bleeding, I mean, someone could bleed a lot before they're in danger of bleeding to death, more than it's going to happen from one of those cuts. But so that's not the issue, but we're just wondering about, are they going to get ripped open further? Is it going to be, are they going to have nerve damage or something like that? Or thing, you know, those are the things we're worried about. Or like the poor young lady with the ear, we're wondering if her ear is going to get ripped off, you know what I mean? So that's why we're going to stop the fight.
That was tremendous. That's a shot you pay $10 for. I would have paid $12.50 to get like a little ear blood on my face, you know what I'm saying? Kind of like a pimple that won't go.
Hey, the ladies bring it, man, and she was mad. She was really upset with me for stopping that fight. She's like, look, I'm here to do this, you know? Yeah, the ladies are no joke.
Oh, my God. I would have fainted if I was the ref. That's how you stop the fight for sure. Once the ref passes out, it's all over. I don't give a fuck. Your ear is hanging off your head, you dummy. Oh, God almighty. I've been to a couple fights where the motherfuckers are bleeding, and I got to give them credit. I want to give them, like, $200 out of my pocket because I couldn't do it. Joe whatever, when he fought B.J. Penn.
Ooh, Joe Stevenson.
Joe Stevenson. I fainted
in
my living room. Yeah,
you know what? That was a pretty bloody match.
I fainted in my living room.
What happened?
Oh, he hit him in the head, and there was blood.
And it was a perfect shot. I had gone back to give him instructions. It was one of the most, like, as far as the precise punches, because I went back to give him instructions, and on his pads, they're working this thing out, and then they're holding it low, and he drops down and throws a kind of a strange, unorthodox punch. And I guess it's designed for when someone changes level and shoots in on you, you're going to catch him right there. And just as he worked the combination on the pads, it happened just like that. It's like I went in there and watched the pads, then came out to ref the fight. First thing that happens, boom, that punch, it lands perfectly. And bad night for Joe.
Where did it get him?
Right in the forehead, yeah.
Remember, when I was a kid, 2020, that's the one that's on Friday nights, when a wrestler exposed wrestling tricks.
When I was a kid, one night,
and that was like the highest rating fucking show ever. It was a 2020 about wrestling.
Yeah, was that the one where Dr. D slapped the guy?
That was one of them. Uh-huh. That's when they went after wrestling.
That was just an open hand slap.
Oh my God, and the guy went down. He started holding on to his ear. I can't hear.
Yeah, he walked up tremendous. And he said it was just, I think pro wrestling's fake. Pow, was that
bam!
Fake?
Oh my God, just smacked him right in the face. This guy thought he was one of those cute, you know, Brent Musburger looking like motherfuckers. This guy clocked him in the ear with a cup hand. He sued NBC. He sued somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
He sued the wrestler. He sued somebody. Well, they did all this thing about tricks. And again, don't fucking listen to me. I just know, don't shoot the messenger. The big thing was you got revved up and the blood went to your head and then you took a razor blade and you cut your head here and it bled a lot because it was a lot. Why would there be blood there? At that time, why
well, because I think, yeah, when you're revving up, yeah, you get, and facial cuts bleed a lot, right? When
something, you would cut right there with a razor blade,
yeah,
and the blood would come out. Every time your heart beat, the blood would go boop, and television people would go nuts. If you know.
And they cut themselves, because they don't want those other
guys. The ratings would go right up. Ratings go right through the fucking roof. It's like putting on a Green Bay game and there's 2 feet of snow. Everybody, that's a train wreck. People love that shit.
Could you do that to yourself?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm going to go home and do it right now and play with the cats and jump up and down. What the fuck is wrong with you? Can I do that to myself? No. But if somebody was giving you $30,000,
yes,
and you're all revved up, you get punched in the head for a living, what's 3 stitches? Who gives a fuck? You might go to a bar and get hit with a bottle of Michelob, and there you are getting stitches over some dumb bitch at the bar that's going to suck your dick. And even though
pro wrestling is scripted, those dudes go through some stuff. When they train, like I used to train with these pro wrestlers over at Inoki Dojo, and taking those bumps and the things they would do to themselves. Like, this guy's going to body slam you on your head. But not only that, I'm going to jump when he picks me up so he can get me higher before. Oh, man, it's crazy.
Last night I was on the Eddie Bravo podcast talking about if I was a musician. What the fuck, Lee? See, you got that cocksucking phone on there, texting, whoever the fuck. Get that phone up there, you cocksucker. it's getting twits from fucking some 20% off chicken or some sushi in the valley. You're gonna fucking puke and blame it on my edible later, cocksucker. I was talking about a musician. Right now, there's a book about everything I learned about business I learned from the Grateful Dead. You know, at the end of the week, bro, the Grateful Dead made it happen. They did for 20 years what people aspire to do. They played every night and they sold out concerts. And people had a good time. They smoked dope. They stunk like shit. You know, they camped out.
Right, yeah.
That's what you want when you're a musician. So why?
And they had a whole thing around them. They had a whole community, a whole like, you know, I don't know, commerce was going on. Like
that's business.
Shakedown Street, yeah.
Shakedown like Street, all that shit. It's just brilliant, Lee. It's very fucking brilliant. But I didn't know anything about entertainment. I knew nothing until I did The Longest Yard and I saw those wrestlers work. I saw the wrestlers do things that actors, comedians don't do. First, they were very accessible. They know when they do those live events, it's all about the pictures and the autographs at the end of the fucking fight. So I remember being at restaurants, and Adam Sandler would be there, and people would bug him. When I did The Longest Yard, the most bugged people on the set were Adam Sandler and not Goldberg, but the other guy, Steve
Austin.
But when I was supposed to be on his podcast, Steve Stone Cold Austin.
Oh.
Stone Cold was at the bottom of end of his career, I guess, 2004. And him and Adam Sandler would get tortured everywhere the most. I noticed this. This is just stupid shit that I look at. Who's getting tortured here? Who's the biggest fucking star in the room? Think about that. Steve Austin's a fucking wrestler, and Adam Sandler gets $20 million fucking a movie, Lee. What are you looking at me like, what? All right, so... This is a guy that was getting bugged just as much as the number one movie star in the world at the time, whatever the fuck he was. But it was how he reacted to it. Adam had bodyguards. Steve Austin didn't. You know, when we did The Longest Yard, Kevin Nash would leave on Wednesdays to do an event somewhere in North Carolina. And he would bring back the tapes and we would watch him and giggle. But at the end, it was him with the fans. At the end, hugging on fans. He taught me that angle of it. Like, he really, those guys, they commit. That's just the one part of it. And then what they do to train. Mm-hmm. Those motherfuckers are in great shape. And they get hurt.
Yeah.
They get fucking hurt, and they work through that shit. And they get money, right? The WWE pays them. I don't know the league, so please don't attack me. I don't know WWE, WWF.
Yeah, I think that's right. That's WWE, I think.
You know, all I remember is being a kid and watching Chief J. Strongbow and watching... You know, fucking all those crazy motherfuckers, the Arab dude and shit. And I stopped watching, I don't know, over the years. And then now it's like, you know, whatever, Cole. I don't even know who those fucking people are. But I learned a lot about entertainment from the wrestlers. And then you think about it, yeah, that's been on for fucking 50 fucking years. Since I came from Cuba, there were men wrestling on TV. And then one day you find out it was fake and you're like, oh, fuck those bitches. So when the dude started showing blood... That always made you think twice about wrestling.
Yeah, you're like, is it fake?
Is it fake? He's bleeding from his fucking head. Come on, Lee. You got to put two and two together, cocksucker. Wake up. I give you these edibles so Confucius enters you. Not so you sit there and stare at me like, I owe you $20. Fucking Herb Dean's here. You know who this is?
I know.
This guy fucking does the best fights and shit in the world. And you're sitting there, you don't ask him no questions.
No, it's fun, though. You know, I think the MMA athletes do that, too. Those guys... always sign those guys.
They have to.
So nice to
them. They have to.
Yeah, because I think, you know, for so long, everybody, we're just so happy that people appreciate what we do, you know?
Listen, I know one thing. When I go to watch the Dallas Cowboys play on Thanksgiving Day against the Eagles, I don't go there thinking that if I buy the most expensive ticket, I'm going to get to shake Jerry Jones' hand. But when I go to the most expensive ticket, the UFC, I know I might get to see Dana White and take a picture of him. Or Chuck Liddell. Mm-hmm. It's pretty intense, guys. That's one thing I saw that I thought was brilliant from the beginning. UFC on TV is one thing. And I got to say, I'm pretty spoiled because Joe's my dear friend. He's taking me to him. So now I pick and choose. A UFC event is a fucking pretty phenomenal thing to go watch. Especially in Las Vegas. To me, that's where I go.
There's all the things that you see there that you don't get to see at home. Like the certain, like the... Those... videos they put together, like to the different songs or whatever, that are like really well done. And you only get to see them there.
You get to see a lot of things, and you feel this energy before the fights. I've always enjoyed those fights to the next level. Like, I don't tell Joe what my plans are till after I do them, because I don't want him to panic. But we've done acid at those fucking things.
Oh, good for you.
When Anderson Silva kicked Vitor Belfort, me and Ari were on acid. Are you fucking kidding me? Me and Ari were on acid. Wow. You have to prepare for this shit. We always take edibles. We always know when to take them. We always pop them at 4:45, and then we pop another one at 6. Then we pop another one at 7. Once Bruce Buffer says it.
Now, that's okay. Bruce Buffer. See, Bruce Buffer live, see? Man. The stuff that Bruce does, they don't get to see all the things he does. You don't get to see
that. Yeah. The 360s, he jumps all around. Just the way people walk in and out. Mm. I've seen, you know, after a fight, sometimes he goes in the locker room, and two fights later, he'll come out and be walking right there with a lump in his head, talking to fucking somebody who was in the audience that he wanted to talk to. So it's a pretty phenomenal event. And you heard me the other night, I don't go to events. I just stopped going to them. Like, I won't go to the one in L.A., you know. Mm-hmm. I won't go to the UFC in L.A.
Not so much fun?
Nah. I like the hotel. I like going right downstairs like a doctor. Then you go right upstairs, take a shit, smoke another joint, and you're back. Then you walk around the fucking casino like a doctor. I got to hop around casinos like some fucking immigrant. Going from one hotel to the other, taking buses and Circus du Soleil. I don't want to do that shit. And then if I go to an event here, I'm always thinking about getting out into the 405 or the 5.
Right,
so
right.
I'm not watching the event resting. The whole time I'm like, I got to get the fuck out of here, because if not, I'm going to be in bumper to bumper.
Right.
You know, so that's the other thing. I don't want to be involved in that. When the fight comes Saturday night, once Robbie Lawler gets in the cage with Little Fidel, after the first round, I get up.
Little Fidel. That's a good one.
After the first round, I get up.
Is that only you says that, or am I missing out? Do a lot of people call him that?
No, that's just me. Little Fidel. That's a Cuban. I got the right.
That's a good one.
I don't like people with those fucking beards. They make me nervous and shit. So Little Fidel, right, is fighting Lawler. He's on the headline. It's not Guillermo El Nino. That's the co-main event. Right when Lawler fights Fidelito, after the first round, I get up already. I get up. I walk up. People say, where you going? I'll be right back. Fuck you, be right back. I'm out of here. By the time they come out for the second round, I'm already by the fucking top of the stairs.
Right, right.
By that time, they let you sit out and hang out and mingle. The cops don't bother you no more. Again, if they don't get knocked out, then I walk a little closer to the door. And I go by like a French fry store, and I just sit there. They're closing up, and I watch the monitor. If it goes into the fourth round, I walk 30 more feet, and I watch by the escalator, right by the TV. As soon as he knocks him out, or the other guy knocks the other guy out, or my man here comes out and says it's over, I head for the fucking door. I already know the decision.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit there and get trapped. What if somebody drops a stink bomb or a little fucking bomb or something? I'm trapped down below fucking sniffing
that
shit.
Now, you give away your game now. Now everybody's going to be up there.
People don't think like that. They want to sit down. Let's watch the ending. Let's watch the credits. Go fuck yourself, the credits. Get the fuck out. Get up. Watch the popcorn. Don't trip, cocksucker. What's up, Herb Dean? What the fuck? The Outlaw Josie. Monday, December 1st. 24 days till Christmas. Get your shit together, cocksuckers. You know what I'm saying? Let me give some shout-outs here. Lee, you're sitting there like a fucking mummy of death, cocksucker. Never again can you eat another edible. Mick Gray Don.
I wish that was true.
I love you. Brandy Lee, you sexy bitch. Brandy Lynn, you sexy motherfucker. Jay Gomez, throwing heat. Chris Parker. Keith Roberts. Sergio Ortega. Talking Lay, I'll see you this weekend. And Casper 2307. Staying black, bitches. What? And listen, we're getting high. The 16 days, what's it, is it? The 8 days of fucking Yarmulke.
Hanukkah.
We're eating an edible a day. Forget the 30 for 30. Lee tapped out. But his mom leaves on the 16th. So starting Tuesday, September 16th, we're going to eat an edible and light a candle for the fucking Jews. That's how we roll. Either you're in or you're out, all right? I can't tell you what you get your edibles. You got to do that shit on your own. But you people think that what kills me about America is that they think that, oh, California, Denver, they're legal. We can't get those edibles. You don't need these edibles. Buy a quarter ounce of some fucking Mexican brown weed, put some butter in a frying pan, take all the stems out and the seeds, cut that motherfucker up small, and start cooking on a low flame and suck that butter out of that thing and let that butter go to the side and get all greenish and shit. And you already have your brownie batter mix and you squeeze that powder in and you throw more weed in that motherfucker, another stick of butter, and you squeeze that motherfucker, the butter, and you keep it all low. You see what I'm saying? You don't burn the fucking butter. And then you drain it into the brownie mix and you stir that brownie mix up again and you taste it from time to time. Who the fuck are you? And again, you fucking burn that weed all the way down, man, with light fucking, a little bit of olive oil. Mix it up nice, nice, nice. You stir that motherfucker up. You squeeze it down. You keep dumping it in the brownie batter. You stir, and that's it. When that weed looks like death, you throw the weed away. You throw the frying pan in the water. You put some fucking Bounce in there, whatever the fuck you put. Soak the shit. I don't like people don't soak their shit. You got to soak your fucking frying pan, and you get your brownie. You put some cooking spray on the tray, and you put your brownie mix in there, and you cook in the oven. It's just as good as we're getting out here. If you don't eat one and it don't get you going, eat two. You'll look like Lee by the end of your fucking brownie mix. That's your Uncle Joey's telling you this. You don't need to eat these edibles. This is just a lie. People selling you this shit. The best edibles I've made are the ones I've made at home.
I can't believe you just gave out a recipe for how to do that.
What the fuck? This is pirate fucking radio. This is a podcast. We're dropping knowledge. Herb Dean is here. I can't not give Herb Dean an education. Maybe he wants to make a fucking brownie. Who the fuck am I to judge him?
I was listening.
Sure. Now, if somebody calls Herb Dean and says, you know how to make these brownies Joe Diaz is talking about, boom, he's Johnny on the spot, Lee.
Yeah, but what about, like, Cassius Morris up there? He should know how to do that.
Why not? Cassius Morris is slinging dick. He's working for what's his name. He's getting paid. Let him. He's 16.
He was just on the news.
I know. Did you see the Cassius Morris? Don't fuck around. Yeah. Cassius Morris, a little young kid, does a podcast.
Okay.
For 2 years now, since he was like 13, calling people, interviewing people, buying tickets to concerts, fighting with security to get back there.
Really?
You know, these people are walking around, I don't know how to do a podcast. Fucking Momo with the movie. let's watch fucking Popeye, you fucking dummy. And here's this 12-year-old figuring it out. You unbelievable. I got affected. I'm sorry. The holidays get me all fucking hyped up. Hyped up like Public Enemy. Anyway, I'm sorry, brother. What's up?
What's happening?
You know,
I'm just enjoying you, man. You can keep it pushing.
Yeah, yeah, I'm excited this weekend. I'm excited about these fights. I like El Nino is fighting the kid from Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. I don't even know who's on the undercard. Now,
that's exciting, the kid from Milwaukee and him. That's
yeah, that's good. A good fight. Now, how many fights are you allowed to ref a night before, if you have the main event?
I ref between 3 and 4 fights. So, yeah, between 2 and 4. So, yeah, I'll either have 3 or 4 fights.
Even if you have the main event, they don't think they're overworked?
Yeah, they don't do it like boxing. Boxing, if they have the main event, a lot of times that's the only fight they have. They'll be back in a special green room. And then they're back there doing their thing. Us, we just ref fights all night. It's better that way. You get warmed up. You staying focused on what you're there to do.
It's been wild lately watching the UFC. It's getting more referee involved, it seems, lately.
Well, I think people are learning more about what the referees do so they can, everyone's an expert, everyone knows the rules, everyone can make a commentary, yeah. I think it maybe has been a little more ref involved. Why do you say that?
Well, the last couple fights, the ref has come into the picture, it seems like. You know, usually there's fights, this guy knocks this guy out. There's always a bad decision. There's always a bad decision. But then there's always that fight, that suspect. An early stoppage, a blood thing, you know, mm-hmm. So right away. You're involved. Big John's involved. Evil Levine is involved. Yamasaki. Somebody's involved. Somebody's questioning you. You know, and they go nowhere. That's what kills me about the questioners. They go nowhere. It stays. That's it. You just wasted 3 hours of your time crying about an early stoppage, which you know nothing about. You've never been punched to the head, and you've never punched nobody to the head. You could tell by a certain sound the guy makes.
Well, at the end of the day, I mean, we know why we're here. We're here to protect these guys and make sure that they don't receive any unnecessary injuries and try to make sure the event happens as clean and fair as possible. And we're not there to win a popularity contest. Now, it's great that everybody, pays attention to what we do and give us some sort of respect for the things we're doing. It feels really good. But at the end of the day, when I start counting on that or depending on that, that's when I've lost. because my job as an official to make decisions that sometimes people aren't going to be happy about, and but that I know I can sleep with at night. And so, you know, I after every show, you know, sometimes I, no matter what, I'm going to look on the internet and someone's going to have something to say. And before, I used to never go on the internet. And so I was always kind of out of the loop with our sport because I don't want to get involved. I've seen officials go down that path where they're on the internet and they're arguing with kids on the underground and stuff. I'm like, don't you know that that's probably a 12-year-old you're arguing with? This dude is like, his mom's telling him to feed the cat. And he's like, no, I got him on the line and he's pissed off. We're going at it. So I left the internet alone. But now through the social media, I do have my own social media. At first I didn't have one, but there would be guys who would make up their own fake ones of me. The only way I could get them shut down was to make my own. So now everyone can go right to me. Everyone can just go right to me with what their opinion is.
I would love for somebody to hit me. I get back from a fight. I know at the end of the fight, I know with Joe that they would give you one from the box. They always give you a copy of the fight. I know Joe would always get one at night. Somebody would give him a copy, or if you asked for it or something. And I took that up to my room, and I, you know, relaxed, took a shower, got room service. I'd always look at it. Just me. Would you ever be tempted to look at your tape in the night or once
I watch my fights. Okay. I watch fights afterwards, especially if I have some, you know, even if I don't have thoughts about it, or even if I thought everything was perfect, there's fights that I've watched from years ago, and I look back and go, now what was I thinking there? Now, why did I do that like that? You know what I mean? From years ago, and, you know, and then some of my fights that that happened recently, I always go back and rewatch it again. I mean, we live by that replay. As soon as we're done, whether it's no one's complaining or not, first thing you see us do, we're looking up at the replay because we want to know if we did the best possible job we could have done, if there's going to be some other information from a different angle that we might see, you know what I mean? So, yeah, we're always watching tape and always trying to think of better ways to do it. Like, hey, well, like, you know, I can think of a mistake I made, or Orlovsky versus Pedapano. You know, I remember, you know, Orlovsky, Pedapano was like going after a footlock, and I'm wondering, and Orlovsky's hitting him in the head, and I'm trying to get close because I think he might be putting him out. But in my mind, I'm thinking, man, Orlovsky's got incredible base. How is he not getting rolled from this footlock? How's he keeping his base like that? Well, he was grabbing the fence. I didn't see it because of my position. He's so tall, he's grabbing the fence over me. But that's an adjustment I've made, you know, and since then, always up against there, I have a new position that I always pick at that time so that I'm able to see everything, you know, and that's what we're there to do.
I could tell when I see you at events, like they call me today, you know, I'm going to Vegas in the morning. They call me today, can you go come in for this thing at 2:30? That means I won't get to Vegas till 6 or 7 o'clock at night, which sucks because I want to go to the weigh-in. The weigh-in is my chance to look. I smell. You smell certain things. You see certain things. Not that I'm going to gamble. I'm not one of those assholes. But it's always just good to know. To see if it affects the fight. You know?
Right,
in your
right.
mind, wow. He was all skinny yesterday, looking all green and shit. Like he ate one of Lee's edibles. But now, look at him. He's all Slim Jim Magoo. Just little things. And you see they're, if they're scared, if they have a lot on their mind, how they're acting, if they're jovial. If they just relaxed, you know. I love seeing all that shit. I think that sometimes the fight is won and lost there by how they come out and their confidence level. You know, there's ways.
No, you're true.
We've seen some things, you know, with Anderson when he put the mask on and you get people rattled up. It gets them out of their game. I always talk about one of the greatest ones of all time was Roberto Duran before he fought Sugar Ray Leonard. They were in Toronto walking in the street and they were walking at each other. Sugar Ray had his family with him. And Sugar Ray stopped and he goes, honey, this is Roberto. And Roberto's like, tell your wife to suck my dick and all this shit. And fucking Sugar Ray, that was it. He took him out of his game. After the fight, I'm going to have her suck my dick real good and swallow my fucking cum, you fuck. You know, in front of his kids. That's it.
Wow, that happened.
That's it. Yeah, get the Duran book. Get the Sugar Ray book. Sugar Ray talks about it in one of the specials on HBO he did years ago. He goes, he said things to me that were fucking, I couldn't even put them in my computer. That's when he lost everything for him. He was like, this guy's a fucking thug. He's a street garbage. No, that was his way of fucking with you, Duran. You know, he just got you. That's it. You know, when Muhammad Ali fought Joe Frazier, wasn't he out there pointing a gun at him? He had a starter pistol, and he kept going in Africa. Come on down, Joe, I'm going to shoot you. And, you know, just to get him out of the fucking... And Joe Frazier's like, is this motherfucker, or George Foreman, it was one of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was in Africa. That was
and it was in Africa. He's like, is this motherfucker really going to shoot me? Come on down, Joe. You know, whatever the fuck. That's people fucking with you. That's taking you out of your game. You know, Muhammad Ali was one of the best in the game at doing that shit.
Yeah, you hear a lot of the jokes that some of these fighters do to each other, you know.
Didn't it just happen?
To keep people awake or different things that frustrate them and things like that, yeah.
Keep people awake?
Well, they'll, like, maybe, like, send their friends, have their friends find out where their room is at and play pranks and all those type of things, you know.
I think it just happened with Tito Ortiz and Stephen Bonner. It came out, like, a couple of days after their fight.
What happened?
That Tito Ortiz was sending Stephen Bonner pizzas and girls, so, like, at the middle of the night, he had to go and get, like, a Motel 6 or something right next door.
Yeah, I heard something about that, but that's not the... That's a pretty old trick, like, guys would do that a lot. I don't... Seem like... I think it's probably pretty hard to find out where these guys are at now, but that's what guys used to do, yeah.
I think one of the weirdest fights this year that was on the other night... I watched Frankie Egg against Cub Swanson. I was out of town, and I watched it that night when I came home, and I thought it was phenomenal.
I didn't get to see it.
I forgot how good Frankie Egg was. You forget how good these guys are. And that night, I couldn't sleep. I went to bed early, and I got up at 3, and main event was on the UFC channel, and it was two fights. It was Chris Weidman, Anderson Silva, the first one, and it was Oliveira against Frankie Egg. I don't even know where the fuck I'm going with this, right? And what the fuck was I watching? God damn it, I forgot what the fuck we were talking about. See that? I'm sorry about that.
Good fight.
No, thinking about something about the referee.
Guys, oh yeah, we talked about the referee. We talked about guys doing things to get guys out of their game. We talked about, I don't know.
Who the fuck knows? See what I'm saying, Lee? I look at you and I get all emotional.
Sorry.
We're here with the.
What about you? You doing any stand up lately? When's the next stand up you doing?
I'm home now. This Friday, I'm gonna be at the South Point Casino in Vegas. The Dirty at 12:30. I'm gonna swing by there and do some jokes. You know, I'm gonna go to Vegas and just swing by, and that's it. Just get out of town. I'm home for the month of December.
Okay.
I don't like flying this fucking month. This month is a
right.
You know, all you have to do is go to Vegas this month, or maybe Phoenix.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be around here, and then I'm gonna go to Vegas, and then I'm gonna go to Vegas twice, and then I'm gonna go to Phoenix.
Right, you gotta go to Phoenix. So that's it. But you're home, you know. Yeah, and every year, people sit at home and see people at the airport with blankets on, and Chinese people breathing on you, and they're like, "Look at these assholes." Now you're becoming one of those assholes. So I don't want to fly. There's no reason for me to fly in that window. It's just a cause. Look at this weekend.
It happened last weekend in Chicago.
There was drama already.
And they had a 1.2-mile-long security line.
What?
Because so many flights were canceled. Like, this reporter measured how long the security line was.
1.2 fucking miles. And no. You want to fly and see your family. Yeah, I believe it.
Midway, I think. Sure.
I believe it. A couple weeks ago out of Portland, the security line was fucking huge. They're getting big. But now some airports ain't making you take off your shoes.
Yeah, Boston didn't make me.
No, and belts. No, they're not making you... They're telling you to come through with everything. Your jacket on, your sleep apnea. I don't even take the computer out of the bag. That's for suckers. Just leave it in there. They're not going to fucking know. Don't take it out no more, Herb Dean. Fuck those motherfuckers.
I never do.
Tell them, Herb Dean.
But they take it. They always ask me to take it out again.
You don't know nothing. You're deaf. Give them fucking signals, whatever. Just throw pan signals. They don't, oh, he's deaf. Leave him alone. He'll sue us. They don't fucking know. When is the next referee?
Next referee clinic?
Yeah.
School, that's going to be... I do it every year. It's on April, Cinco de Mayo.
Okay, right. It's May 3rd this year.
Cinco de Mayo because... well, yeah, it's May 3rd, but I do it on the Cinco de Mayo weekend because I know that Mayweather usually is beating up somebody on that day. So I know there's not going to be a UFC usually, so that's usually I do it.
Cinco de Mayo weekend. That's very interesting. Well, now they're throwing him into the hat. It looks like Mayweather's going to have to fight Pacquiao, but who gives a fuck? By the time they fight, they're going to be 84. Who wants to watch that fucking psychiatric ward fight? I don't need that shit in my life. And how many days is the clinic?
It was 2 days, but I'm expanding it to 3.
Just to do what? What are you adding?
Well,
to?
Just because there's so much stuff to cover. And, you know, we do long days on those 2 days. Sometimes we're doing 12-hour days easily. Sometimes
it's a lot of material to comprehend.
Yeah, it's a lot of material to cover. So I want to add another day.
Do you put a lot of them on tape and they get to see each other?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of tape.
I put them on tape. Well, because one of the things that we do is there's we teach the unified rules and scoring criteria and, you know, referee mechanics and stuff like that, and talk about, you know, we watch my mistakes and things like that. But then also I want to make sure that people understand the sport, because sometimes people are like, well, I want to be around this sport. It's a pretty sexy sport, but I don't want to get punched in the face. So maybe I'll be an official. So I want to make sure that they understand the sport, so I have them teach me technique, and we put it on video, and it's pretty cool. It's fun.
What kind of technique?
I haven't teach you. You know, they're there to evaluate, as a judge, you're there to evaluate the effectiveness of the mixed martial arts technique. So I'm going to have them, you know, okay, show me your game, you know, from the on the cage, you know, show me some cage control on there. Teach me by the numbers. Teach me a darts by the numbers. And so they teach it, and then, you know, I have evaluators there that fill out a form on the technique. Was it, you know, did they show competence? And then it's all on tape. So if they say, well, hey, I think my technique was stunning, you just don't know what you're talking about, that's fine. We can have somebody else look at the tape. Some of the tapes are pretty funny. And then also, if you're a referee, you have to understand what the people are doing so you can keep them safe. You know, part of our job is to do a little submission defense for the guy when he taps out, when he can't do anything about it, or unlock the chokes after the guy taps out. If you don't know how the submissions work, you can't help the guy defend against them. So at least you want to know that you understand the stuff and the details it takes to do it to someone who's not letting you.
It's not, you just can't say, you know what, this looks like a career move for me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go pay for this and get in there. You want the guy to be an established martial artist. Not much established.
Right.
But at least to have, you know, 2 years. Be a blue belt, maybe.
Yeah, to understand the techniques. Have them been taught.
Studied some Muay
Thai.
Uh-huh. Maybe hung around a gym for a while, sparred with some people, knows what it is to get kicked in the mouth.
Exactly.
Knows what it is to get kicked in the knee, you know, how somebody's walking. Or one of the most controversial fights this year, that the other day I still saw people talking about it, was the Cuban kid against Tim Kennedy. And the more I look at it, like the other day they brought it up again on UFC, and that was Big John's fight.
Yeah, it was Big John.
That was a Big John fight. And the big thing was that at the end of the day, he had Vaseline, too much Vaseline on his face.
Right, right.
He was stalling a little bit, but still, he was, would you have done anything different?
You know,
I'm not here questioning Big John. I'm just saying what we all learned.
Yeah, he's a good, but I think what happened is when Big John went to correct it, then, you know, there's a little bit of confusion with the corners and whatnot right there, so it ended up turning into this long who's on first kind of a thing, you know what I mean? So it was just one of those situations that every now and then kind of happens, you know? And then I believe there were some language issues as well, you know? So I'm not sure. I don't want to speak for him on what it was.
Well, he's Cuban. Yeah. Cuban people know how to work it. They understand English when it's beneficial to them.
I'm not sure if it wasn't him. I think... I believe there was one of his corner guys.
Cubans have the funniest corners. You know who's got the funniest corner in the business?
Who's that?
Jorge Masvidal.
Yeah?
The guy who corners him has to be one of the funniest Cubans I've ever heard, because he says things that are fucking hilarious. How I'm not George Masvidal and I just don't call a timeout to laugh is beyond me.
Like, what's he say?
Métele un galletazo. That means bitch slap him. You can't bitch slap somebody in the UFC. You know, metal una patada. You know, Spanish people and they're fighters at heart. The boxers, their corners are so unorthodox. Because it sounds fucking barbaric in Spanish the way they say it. But I always hear the corner say metal un galletazo, which means smack them like open handed. You know, you can't smack somebody open fucking handed like that. You know, like in the '50s, like a Clark Gable type smack. But he has a hilarious fucking corner. I forget this shit. And I always tell Joe, you have to make a point to listen to Masvidal's corner. How emotional they get and how they talk to him. Tírale. Tírale means shoot. But in Spanish, it seems different. It works. So tírale means throw those punches. Tírale, you know, let those hands loose. But they just say tírale. That covers all the bases. Tírale covers everything in Spanish. It's not like in English, I have to say four different meanings to one thing. But he has a funny fucking corner. What, Lee? Look at the shape of you, Lee. Fucking mushroom, whatever the shirt on. What are you going to eat tonight? You're sitting there looking at me, thinking about a Cuban sandwich, aren't you? You're thinking to yourself, is Mambo open tonight? We went to a Cuban restaurant the other night. Myself, my wife, the baby, Lee. We got some nice Cuban fucking picadillo, some chopped beef. With some olives in that motherfucker, with some black beans and rice. We got the combo platter, a couple fried bananas, some empanadas, some croquetas made of ham. Come on now.
Okay, where's this at?
right in Glendale on Victory Boulevard. You eat Cuban food, dog?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't fuck around, do you?
Yeah, I eat food.
The chorizo was really good. The
chorizo was on fire. Don't fuck around, dog. Those Cubans do it right there from Newark. So at least we got something to talk about, you know. Fucking Herb Dean's in the house. I'm so excited. I'm a fan, Herb Dean. I'm a fan of what you do. And I'm a fan of, in our conversations, I'm a fan of what you stand for. I never knew that that's what you stood for, to keep the fighters safe. And it's, you know, it's a nice feeling. It's a nice, I know you were in there with Anderson Silva. That must have been, those are screams you'll hear for fucking life when you hear that type of shit, you know. Yeah. It's a tough job that you're doing. Yeah. I got a lot of respect for you, man.
Yeah, it's like you say with Anderson, it's you know, we see our heroes get in there and put it all on the line, and it's real. It's really happening, right? People are going in there, and they're taking risks. You know, they're not playing tiddlywinks. It's a tough sport, you know?
It's a very tough sport. Where can they find you? What webpage can they?
HerbDean.com. Yep.
HerbDean. That's got the referee schedule.
That's got the referee school. If you want to follow me on Twitter, that's HerbDeanMMA. Same with Instagram. And I think my Facebook is Herb Dean UFC, you know. And that was funny. That one got started by this kid. He was on there pretending to be me. He was saying horrible things. He was like, was quoting like all kinds of gangster rappers. Like that was the kind of stuff I was saying. Sometimes I like it, you know what I mean? I was like, I don't want to repeat the things he was saying. But people were harassing him so much. Like this is not. But he had like 10,000 followers. He had a lot of people who didn't like me on there too. Then finally he gave it up to me, you know. He gave me the he called me and said, "Okay, I want to turn it." And it turned out to be like, I think it was a 19-year-old kid from Australia. 19-year-old Australian kid. I see the picture of a little girlfriend, a little skinny, little neck, you know what I mean? And I was so mad. I was like, "Why did you say all those things?" He's like, "Well, I like rap music and basketball players, so I just, you know, kind of, and I like, you know, I like you, and so I just kind of brought all my favorite things together, and I figured, you know, it was things that you would say." I was like, "But I don't say those things." And then he even gave me his address. I was like livid, but wasn't letting him know. He's like, "Could you send me some stuff, an autograph thing?" I go, "Why, for building this up for you?" So, yeah, give me your address. He gave it to me. You know, I had another guy. The funniest dude was the Twitter guy. He was Smoke the Herb Dean MMA. Have I ever told you about this guy?
No, Smoke the Herb Dean.
Okay, this dude, he went by Smoke the Herb Dean. And this dude was so funny. And when I first found out about it, people were saying, "Are you saying this stuff on Twitter?" And I'm like, "No." And this dude portrayed me as if I was always high and ethnocentric, right? So everybody was some sort of nigga or something like that. And that's how I was like my comments on the Kimbo Slice versus Big Country. Do you remember that fight?
Yeah.
Where Big Country laid on Kimbo. It was like, okay, here was the comment. Goes, "Nothing I heard worse than watching a fat ass cracker lay up on a swole ass brother and get rewarded for it." That was the comment. I was like, and people were thinking it was me. And he would say stuff like that all the time. And like, when I first saw it, I was so mad. But then all of a sudden, I just clicked and I just started laughing. I was rolling. And my lawyer, he was calling. I called him and go, "Okay, wait, before you send the letter, let me like send it around to a few of my friends so we can laugh." So like me and Savant, you know, who went to the jail, me and Savant, we just rolled for about a week, just saying all the stuff and like just crazy stuff this dude was saying. And then they shut him down. But I kind of miss him. I wish that
Smoke the Herb Dean.
I wish that he was back. If Smoke the Herb Dean, if you're listening, you know, reach out to me. You know what I'm saying? Because you were funny.
Yeah. Oh my God! How somebody could take somebody's identity mm-hmm. and just say shit is fucking hilarious. I made a Bill Cosby joke, and this is a Bill Cosby dude on fucking Facebook that was saying some stuff to me that was hilarious. Like, he knew me, but I love all that shit. That's, you know, kids are doing crazy stuff, but that's tremendous when they smoke the Herb Dean.
he was funny, you know. So I'm not trying to give anybody ideas or whatever. I don't know, but damn, yeah, it was funny.
My God, I would love to do that to somebody. Just fucking say shit and get away with murder. I would say some horrible.
Like who? Who do you want to take over?
I don't know. Who do I hate, Lee? What do you think? who would I take over? Like who?
I don't know.
Give me an idea. What the fuck, Lee? Give me my idea. Nature Valley. Who?
The ranch company.
Oh, yeah.
Like to make the
I hate ranch fucking dressing. Just talking about it irritates me. You understand me? Just talking about it, I could smell it in the fucking air.
Right? That would be really funny if you were to be Nature Valley.
Really?
Yeah, I get thinking of all kinds of stuff you could say is Nature Valley.
Suck my dick. It's the same jizz that comes out.
Yeah, stuff like that. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That is brilliant. Mm-hmm. Keep sucking that fucking ranch dressing. Keep thinking about my nuts smell like, you filthy fucks. Put that shit on your lettuce, you dirty motherfuckers. Look at me. I'm writing advertising for them already. I haven't even opened up my fucking Herb Valley page. What's the name of it? What's the name of the page?
Nature Valley?
Whatever the fuck. Onnit.com. You got 2 hours to make a move and then you're fucked. 25% off of vitamins and minerals, 18% off of weights and anything else they have. Look at the MCT oil. Like I tell you, I'm sick of fucking telling you motherfuckers. Alpha Brain. That's it. Two words, 100% money guarantee. They don't want the shit back. Start with that. You ever go to a Chinese restaurant? If you order the fucking Mugu Gai pan and it's terrible, you got nowhere to go. You should deserve to get bit slapped. You deserve to shit blood for 3 days. You always open up small. You open up with the pork fried rice, the spare ribs, and the soup. If that shit sucks, where the fuck are you going to go? You got nowhere to go. You understand where I'm coming from? Go to Onnit.com. Start with the Alpha Brain. If the Alpha Brain ain't for you, we shake hands and part friends. You get 10% off. Try it. You get a money-back guarantee. I guarantee you'll be working on both cylinders. You're walking around half retarded. You're tired. You don't know what's going on. Your chick's sucking somebody else's dick. You don't need the aggravation. Get on point, bitch. Alpha Brain through Onnit. Whether it's the MCT oil, the Shroom Tech, they got something for you to make you better. We're not talking about vitamins and minerals. We're talking about human optimization, bitches. Go to Onnit.com and press in.
Church.
Oh, shit. In the box. What do they get?
10%. Well, they get, there's a sale for 2 hours.
2 hours.
But then 10% off.
But let's say you missed the sale. You ain't got the fucking rent money. Boom, you're back. All right, bitches? Who takes care of you like Uncle Joey? Onnit.com. Your little New Year's resolution starts on Onnit.com. Might fuck around. My peeps
Alpha
over
Brain.
Here.
Alpha Brain, okay.
Alpha Brain. Keeps you sharp. Just next time you see Joe, good. Send me a couple boxes of Alpha Brain. He'll hook you up. Iron Dragon TV. The streaming TV channel focused on martial arts. Plain and simple. Some night you're going to drive home. You don't want to watch no fucking half a fag movie. You don't want to watch none of that shit. You know what? I'm in the mood for some classic kung fu. I'm in the mood for a little Jackie Chan. You go to irondragontv.com, and what are you pressing, Lee?
Joey.
Joey, and you get 2 free fucking movies on the arm. That's how I roll. I'm not going to make you go there and pay none. If afterwards you want to join, what's it cost? It's fucking pennies.
I'm not sure. I'll have to check.
You have to check, Lee. What the fuck are you doing here? This is Chow Young Fat, the 10 brothers of Chowlin. These motherfuckers are throwing heat on here. If you're into classic kung fu, and they got the future coming, this is Nanotech. They sponsor fighters. My man Dave Foley was supposed to go down there on Wednesday. He's going to be on the podcast Wednesday night to break it down for you bitches. Once you hear him break it down, I guarantee you will be a part of Iron Dragon TV. They're the fucking future. After January 1st, the 4K TV, who's going to have the technology for you? Iron Dragon TV. Chinese people are still going to fly through the fucking air in your television. Everybody else is going to be sitting there going, what happened to the Chinese people? You know why? Because you got Iron Dragon TV, Roku. All right, Hitty Sigs. Everybody's going to quit smoking. Everybody's walking around coughing. When you eat pussy, you got a big lump in your throat of hair and fucking hummus and whatever else is in your throat. You get that cigarette smoke. You smell like dick. You don't need this no more. Go to HittySigs.com. Start your resolution right now. You quit smoking. They got 24 milligrams, 16 milligrams, 8 milligrams, and zero. You work yourself backwards. You won't be smoking by the new year. Quit today. Fuck being some Harvey. I'm going to wait till January 1st. Quit now. So you can talk shit at the fucking parties and blow smoke in people's faces. You also get the fucking cigar. 1,200 puffs. They last longer and they taste better. I love this fucking cigar. I'm going to Vegas this week. I have 15 of them in my pocket with a couple joints. That's how I roll. Go to HittySigs.com right now. Press what in the box?
Joey's Church.
Oh, shit. And what do they get?
20% off.
20% off anything there. Go there right now. They got different flavors. If you want to smoke blackberries, whatever, cherries, menthols, whatever you're into, different fucking numbers of milligrams, go to HittySigs.com and get your shit together. Breathe. It's a beautiful day to be alive. You know what I'm saying, Herb Dean? I got to break it down for these bitches. And last but not least, my fucking people, David and Pete up there, NailedItLife.com. You want to smoke the herb, you want to have a t-shirt with a pipe, with Hitler blowing a bong hit, go to NailedItLife.com. They got vapor pens for you, 20% off. They got t-shirts, they got hats, they'll take care of you. Let's say one of your lasers breaks in your vapor, you call Dave direct. He'll have it to your house the next day. You won't miss a day smoking vapor. You know why? That's how we roll, these Syed. Who the fuck you think you're dealing with, yeah?
Coa Joe Diaz.
That's right. We're 15 days away from Hanukkah, and that's when a little menorah a day edible is going to start. We're going 8 days straight. What do you got to say about that, Lee Sayah? Huh?
It's going to be a crazy 8 days.
What the fuck, Lee? Strap a pair on. Grab your balls. Look up at the sky. Ask yourself, why do I have? Why did God or Allah or whatever fucking God you belong to give me these nuts so I could walk around and go see fucking movies with some fucking girl about people with bow and arrows and shit? Fuck no. You're going to go home and watch 8mm tonight. Straighten this guy out. Where you at, Herb Dean? When are you going to go visit Herb Dean in Pasadena and learn some Kempo Karate or some shit?
Oh, you're always welcome.
What days you teach up there, Herb?
I'm there. I train on Mondays and Wednesdays.
Take Lee up there with you to do some. Teach him how to throw a flying sidekick without the ropes, please.
Tomorrow, though, I'm going to go see Eddie Bravo.
Take him down there with you tomorrow. Take the train down. Don't you take a train downtown to eat French fries? I'm going down to eat French fries with cheese on.
French fries?
Yeah, the potatoes.
Yeah.
Go see Eddie Bravo tomorrow. Wear your little mushroom shirt. Who's better than you, cocksucker? Herb Dean, what are your New Year's resolutions this year? What do you want to do?
Well, you know, I don't have any yet. Now it's a good idea to start thinking of something. I usually don't make resolutions. You know,
people always go for this non-shit and they crack by the 14th.
You know what? My as far as for the fitness one, that's the big one, right?
That's the big one.
Just you know what? What's really interesting, I've noticed I've been through this cycle the last few years. November hits. When November hits, everything changes. I start eating better. I start working out better. And I realize what it is. It's the light. So when the light changes, I don't feel like sitting in the backyard drinking beer, barbecuing, and all that. I'm like on it. I just want to eat a salad, go to the gym.
You're a healthy dude. That. You look good out there, though.
No, well, thank you, man. I try to be healthy.
You know, you can't be a fat fuck refereeing. It just doesn't look right. I couldn't be out there refereeing, no matter how. Even for a while, Big Dave, Big John was big. He wanted a big-time diet years ago when he worked a lot more. It's tough being a fat dude. Just for personal appearance. You know, I'm a comic, so at this point, it helps me out. It fucks me up sometimes from time to time. I think about it a lot. You know, I think about what I'm eating. I think about what I shouldn't eat. You know, I'm going to work on a movie next week. Those are the fucking kisses of death. A movie is a kiss of death. With 24 hours, they got Raisinets. You know, I told them today, no Raisinets on this movie. Last time they had Raisinets everywhere. Those Raisinets fucking put 10 pounds on me. I love Raisinets. They drive me fucking crazy. Where did you sign the fucking sponsor sheet where we want Raisinets? Because I could sell Raisinets. You understand me? Raisinets are good. Breakfast, lunch,
email
and dinner.
Her.
Get it together. You're slipping. Write this shit down. Okay. Herb Dean, I will see you Friday night at the South Point, hopefully. You come over.
I wish I would.
It's too late for you.
Well, no. I wouldn't normally be there. I would normally do it. But the thing is, I think I'm going to be refereeing a fight Friday here, and I won't be able to get up there till the morning.
So you'll fly coming up Saturday late. Morning.
Yeah, Saturday morning, Saturday morning. Or drive up Friday night. When I'll get there, it'll be like, maybe the show might be over. But any other time, I haven't seen you for a while. I'm about due, man.
You don't come out that much.
I'm about due.
Dog, it's tough to go on the road every week, raise a family, be a husband, work out. You know, you have eight hats.
But you know, the thing about it is, I chill out on, because I used to see you guys a lot more often. And then, like, I'm like, man, you know, I want to let my boys get some material. You know, I don't want to be seeing them every, like, see the next week afterwards. You know what I mean?
I like when people, I get embarrassed when my friends come. I get embarrassed how they feel about my material and shit. Sometimes I go off. Sometimes, you know. But whatever. It would just be good seeing you. I'll see you Saturday night at the hotel. Maybe I'll see you walking around after the fights. I'm excited. I haven't been to a fight in a while, so I'm very excited about going this week. This is going to be good. I'm a big fan of Gilbert's. I like Gilbert as a human being. You know, I like him. I don't know Robbie Lawler or Fidel personally. I don't know the kid from Milwaukee. You know, I don't really know a lot of people, but I'm excited. Lee's going to come. Yeah, Lee hooked up. He's going to drive out on Friday night like a soldier. You know, what are you going to do here, Lee? Nothing.
No, I'm excited.
Maybe we'll do a little edible run out there through Friday and Saturday in Vegas.
So after the South Point, there's nothing more for December? Because I do want to come see you soon. Because you had me rolling, man. I mean, the one you used to do about the cat, man. The cat.
No. I'm around on New Year's Eve. I'm doing it at the Ice House right in your neighborhood, 8 o'clock. You know, you're always family.
New Year's Eve.
8 o'clock. You're out of there by 10. Done. Boom. You're on your way home. Fucking jumping up and down. You can practice refereeing in your living room.
Right.
You know, fuck it. Yeah, I'm right here. The Ice House, New Year's Eve. Lee's going to be there with a tuxedo on. We're going to get him a nice tux.
Yeah.
You know, Greg and Lynn send you a robe. I got to go pick it up tomorrow.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you.
They sent you a robe, finally. We're going to take pictures of you with the fucking robe on, with gel in your hair. You're going to be smoking. I love you, cocksuckers. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget, December 17th, we're at the Laugh Factory, the live podcast, and New Year's Eve at the motherfucking Ice House. And that's it. I want to thank our sponsors on it. IronDragonTV.com, HitE6.com, and Nailed It Life. I just had like a brain fart there. I thought about the fights for some reason. I'm sorry to my sponsors. You know I love you motherfuckers. Thank you very much. Thank you, Herb Dean, for making the trip down. You know I love you, though. My, I've been trying to get you on for a while. And I'm ready for your podcast, your show. So whenever, get me on. I want to do some interviewing with you.
Okay, hey, thank you for having me.
Oh, please, you're fucking family. And I want to get you in studio so we can talk shit. Thank you very much. See you cocksuckers Wednesday night. Same bat time, same bat channel. Just like that.
Use code word church to get 10% off at onnit.com. Off of any of their great products, New Moon, Shroom Tech, Alpha Brain, anything like that, code word church to get 10% off. Go to nailedatlife.com and use code word Joey Diaz to get 20% off of the premier vapor pen on the market. It's good for oil and for wax smokers. It's code word Joey Diaz to get 20% off. Go to irondragontv.com and use code word Joey, and get 2 free rentals. And lastly, go to hitesigs.com. Better tasting, longer lasting. The proof is in the vape. Use code word Joey's Church to get 20% off.
Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm. Into this house we're born. Into this world we're thrown. Like a dawn.